control. Think a little bit before he presses send on a social media post as bad as those ones.
Yeah, think is the key word there. Good on you, Webby. Thanks for that.
Thanks, boys.
Andrew Webster.
I'm Sarah Womby. Pro-democracy activists are expected to gather again in Sydney in support of protesters in Hong Kong. Thousands of people took part in rallies across Australia on Friday and yesterday, including supporters of China, as demonstrations continue overseas. Several scuffles broke out between pro-Hong Kong and pro-Beijing groups in Melbourne on Friday night, while there were at least two clashes in Sydney yesterday. Meantime, riot police in Hong Kong have been deployed to remove a group of pro-democracy demonstrators who were illegally gathered on the city streets. They'd been throwing eggs and shining laser pointers at officers. Earlier, thousands of teachers took to the street, organising marches to show support for students demanding a fully free and independent Hong Kong. They said they wanted to show their solidarity with pro-democracy groups.
Teachers are angry because the government is making a lot of mistakes, including treating the next generation badly and suppressing the protest.
The heartbroken family of an Australian tourist who was shot dead in New Zealand say they are devastated. 33-year-old Victorian man Sean McKinnon was allegedly shot while he was sleeping in a camper van with his Canadian fiancée in Raglan. His alleged murderer, a 23-year-old man whose identity has been suppressed, has faced court for the first time. Three of Mr. McKinnon's siblings travelled to New Zealand to be in court, including his sister Emmeline, who's described her brother as a wonderful person and says her family's devastated.
We just don't know even how to begin to put life together without him being here.
The accused murderer was remanded in custody. An elderly man has been seriously injured in a hit-and-run accident in central Queensland, with police appealing for public assistance to identify the vehicle. The 76-year-old man was struck by a car just before 8:30 last night as he went to cross the road after exiting a hotel on Archer Street in Rockhampton. Police say the driver of the vehicle failed to stop and left the scene with a damaged mirror on the left passenger side. Parts of the Perth CBD and Perth train station were shut down for several hours as police negotiated with a man on the station's roof. The naked and bleeding man climbed through a broken window and onto the building. Emergency services were able to pull the man back through the window after negotiating with him for 4.5 hours. In the US, rallies are taking place across the country pressuring Walmart, the world's largest retailer, to use its influence to push for gun reform. Guns Down America says a number of organizations are joining in the fight following a mass shooting in one of its stores in El Paso, Texas. Founder and executive director Igor Losky says weapons must be removed from shelves.
Guns Down is working with Americans all across the country, urging them to deliver Walmart must act letters to their local Walmart, calling on the corporation to stop selling guns.
And Alaska has just gone through its warmest month ever. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration says Alaska's average temperature in July was 14.5 degrees Celsius. That's 3 degrees above average. This is Air News. The Wallabies will have to wait another year to try and reclaim the Bledisloe Cup after being smashed by the All Blacks 36-0 in the deciding game in Auckland. Captain Michael Hooper says the loss is a blow to the Wallabies' confidence.
It's been building, had to hit, hit to us here tonight, not to get any points on the board. Really disappointing. We're going to have to really have a think about, mentality and then our on-field play as well to secure and hold possession more.
A Lincoln McCarthy goal in the dying stages has handed Brisbane a thrilling one-point AFL victory over Geelong at the Gabba. North Melbourne smashed Port Adelaide by 86 points. Essendon defeated Fremantle by 32. Adelaide were flogged by Collingwood by 66. And Carlton beat St Kilda by 10 points. The Canberra Raiders have come from 18-0 down to defeat the Melbourne Storm 22-18 to keep their chances of a top two NRL finish alive. After the Raiders overcame two sin bins in the first half, skipper Jared Croker proved vital to his side's fight back, scoring 2 tries and converting 3. The Canterbury Bulldogs claimed a 14-6 win over South Sydney, while the Newcastle Knights thrashed the North Queensland Cowboys 42-6. England are 4-96 at stumps on the fourth day of the second test against Australia, and Ash Barty has been defeated in straight sets in her semi-final match at the Cincinnati Masters. Australian Independent, Radio News.
Group 1 Allied Express Victoria Cup. They're ready. Green light. Racing. Lenny the Shark came out quickly. Into the straight though, and Lenny goes for home. He goes to the centre of the track. He's nicely clear of Yaya's Hotspot, Tiger Tar and Amaretto. And Lenny does it again. Lenny the Shark wins. Second Amaretto, third Tiger Tara.
Lenny the Shark.
Standing at Yerribee Stud in New South Wales, where there's a value for money stallion for everyone. Visit yerribee.com.au.
Race the best with the best. Dynamic Syndications invites you to join the people's trainer, Richard Freeman, in a magnificent colt by Scissor Kick. Arrowfield's outstanding racehorse, now exciting new sire. Our colts from Miss Bax, a dual-winning three-quarter sister to four stakes winners, including Accomplice and Given. Join our dynamic Richard Freeman team in this classic colt. For info, visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3360-808.
Ever dreamt of owning a share in a racehorse? Running in the world's richest country race? Well, the Kosciuszko is back, and you could win a share in a horse running in the $1.3 million race on Everest Day, October 19. To enter the draw, purchase a $5 Kosciuszko ticket on the TAB app or at your local. The Kosciuszko. Tickets on sale now. Entry open to New South Wales residents only. Visit thekosciuszko.com.au for details. Racing New South Wales authorised under New South Wales permit number GOCSC 1042. Gamble responsibly. Gamblers help 1-800-858-858.
Lazarus.
Here goes Lazarus, the winner of 14 Group 1 races. And Lazarus presses forward now, moves alongside of his old foe Tiger Tara heading down the back. And Lazarus charged up to hit the lead. It's Lazarus, Soho Tribeca. Lazarus in front from Soho Tribeca. Lazarus keeps giving, the miracle horse in front. And Lazarus has done it again.
Lazarus, standing at Yerribee Stud in New South Wales.
Visit yerribee.com.au.
The Big Sports Breakfast Grand Final Lunch is on again. Join your host TK and Loz in the Grand Ballroom at Royal Randwick Wednesday, October the 2nd. The fun kicks off at 12:30 when your Master of Ceremonies, Dave Stanley, welcomes you to enjoy a gourmet three-course lunch, five-hour beverage package, and to rub shoulders with royalty of the NRL and racing world. The midweek Randwick meeting will be in full swing, as will the Sky Racing Tipsters, who'll be doing their best to send you home a winner. Tickets $195 per person, available at AustralianTurfClub.com.au.
On Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the best of the Big Sports Breakfast, where we take a look back at all the headlines making news in sports. Here's your host, John O'Farr.
I hope you're having a great start to your Sunday morning. In fact, this is not John O'Farr.
John O'Farr would be happy to hear he's up this early on a Sunday morning.
You know, John O's just getting home at this time. That's what happens on a Sunday morning for John O'Farr. Let it be clear about that. Good morning, everyone. Hope you're having a great start to your weekend. How are you, Raymond?
I'm terrific, James. How are you going, all right?
Very well. I'll tell you what. Dare I say it, Raymond?
Mm-hmm.
We've got a massive show, and I'm going to say it's a show with a difference today. We're a little bit all over the place.
We've got to battle through a few little technical issues, but we'll get there.
That's exactly right. We've got our race replays, which everyone take a sigh of relief and sit back and enjoy your coffee at this point, knowing that they're coming up very short. What?
You're right. Try and pinpoint a couple of wins.
It gives me a chance to get around the newspapers and have a look. Adrian Bott will be on. He was on holidays last week. We had Gay on, and not on holidays today, and they've had... A very good win from Wolf. Five wins, one second in six starts in Australia, the Japanese bred. So we'll talk to Adrian about that. Glenn Boss will be on the program. His first Saturday winner since coming back to Australia, back to Sydney. So that is significant. And just maybe a little... chat during the week from Master Trainer Chris Waller. We'll talk to him about that. We'll have the scratchings around New South Wales, actually Tasmania, Queensland. We're everywhere at the moment, Ray. You realise that? Northern Territory. Zorba will be along. We've got a lot to cover with Zorba. I think it might be a few quick-fire questions today with Zorba because I want to get his opinion on a lot of things. And we know we were texting each other last night, but there's a lot to go through from the world of rugby league. What about... the performance of the Canberra Raiders, down 18 points to nil against the Melbourne Storm.
You know what? The previous week they played really well against the Roosters, even though they went down 22-18 by memory in Canberra.
Yes.
But last night, 18-0 down, two players sent to the sin bin in various stages of the first half. You don't see any side coming back from that against the Storm, but they played fantastic footy, controlled the footy in the second half.
It had never, ever, ever been done before.
Great fight back.
So incredible win. Darren Beedman, we'll have Darren along for a chat as well. Pandemic was... Wow. Mm. Once it got into the clear, the three-year-old gelding just exploded down the straight there at Kensington. The event cinemas quiz, the score update, Raymond?
Did you win last week?
I did.
So is that 16-15?
No, 17-15.
Okay, gap's closing, though.
In your favour.
Okay, gap's closing.
The gap is closing there. At that point, then, we'll have a chat with Gerard Daffy. Now, by popular demand... This is just incredible, unprecedented in the history of the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Paul Fatty Vaughton will be back for part two of his story.
It was so good last week. We ran out of time, James, didn't we? Seriously.
Well, there's sort of two parts to his career. There's the footy part, which some people today probably don't know too much about, which we covered off last week.
And then his media career and everything else he's done post his football career.
Just incredible. So we can look forward to having a chat with Fatty Vaughton. We'll get a sports update with Tanya. Phil Moss, there's some sort of wild speculation that he's actually going to join us in the studio.
He'll be here today. Liverpool had a win overnight, so he'll be in an upbeat mood.
And Manchester City had a draw too, which you're very happy about. Dean Bulldog Richie with all the latest in rugby league. And, of course, we're taking your calls on 13 53 53. Now, SMS number, if you want to send an SMS, you can. 0419 767 272. Don't ask us why, but our access to...
We've got some technical issues.
The SMS line is... So... down at the moment.
So if you want to say something, please call 13 53 53 whilst we work on getting these SMSs up and running. James, can we go to the bad stuff first?
Yes.
Bledisloe Cup.
Yep.
Like night following day, All Blacks just came out and hammered us overnight at Eden Park.
I don't know why anyone thought we were going to win. It's been 36 years and counting now.
Oh.
Since 33 years and counting since Australia won, 1986 at Eden Park.
So is Perth a false dawn?
Yeah, I think so. The player sent off. I think during the course of the week, Steve Hansen, the coach of the All Blacks, even admitted, look, I think we maybe took them a little lightly. Mm. But everything is been righted in the world of rugby. 36 points to nil, and it was an absolute shellacking. And the Wallabies back to the drawing board when it comes to the World Cup in Japan. During the course of the week, there was the NRL Hall of Fame inductees. What was your take on that? Craig Young, Danny Badiris, Ruben Wicki and Stacey Jones?
Yeah, can't argue with any of those. And I was really happy to see, obviously, Ray Rabbits Warren get inducted and also my late colleague, Peter Chippy Frilingos. So I think it was fantastic.
This is a little bit morbid, but you were in the office the day that Peter Frilingos passed away, weren't you?
Yeah, Chippy actually died in my hands. So,
is that right?
Yeah. So I had his head in my hands as he was, as he died. It was very, very sad. So I sat next to Chippy for almost 15 years.
Wow.
In the office, and it was Paul Kent, Dean Ritchie, and he was just a life force, Peter Frilingos, and still missed to this day. And I'm really glad he was honoured in the Hall of Fame because he deserved it, as did Raps. Great to see.
Yes.
Did you go to the Hall of Fame?
No, I didn't go to the Hall of Fame, but congratulations to not only those people who were inducted, but also those people who were nominated. So absolutely fantastic. Well done to the rugby league. Could there be more players put in? Maybe. It strikes debate. I know there's listeners of this program up on the north coast of New South Wales who were absolutely distraught that E.E. Christensen was not nominated.
But that's what the Hall of Fame concept is.
That's exactly right.
We get that same debate happening every year in the horse racing world as well. So I'm on the Hall of Fame panel for that. When we include some horses and some people, leave others out. So
of course.
That's what the concept does. But it does focus on the good things in those sports. And I reckon it was great to see particularly Chippy and Rabs get nominated for the media.
We read Dean Ritchie's very touching tribute to Peter Frilingos during the course of the week. So we'll have a chat to him about the impact Peter Frilingos had on that newsroom at News Limited during the course of his rugby league career. The games coming that have been played over the weekend, there's some really interesting results. Eagles over the Tigers, Eels too strong for the Titans, who are becoming an embarrassment, to be honest. The Panthers' own worst enemy against the Broncos.
Drop ball.
But Payne Haas.
Didn't he have a game and a half? Fantastic, great play. You've been singing his praises for a couple of years now.
Well, I know there's a guy who follows these things very closely. Mm. He says he will be the best forward since Beetson.
Wow.
And he will be...
And he's how old?
He's 19.
It's incredible.
He's 19.
It's incredible.
So, the journey for Payne Haas has just begun. Mm. Knights flogged the Cowboys, and I'm not sure what's happening there. He's going to be under pressure now, Paul Green.
Yeah.
Like it or not, he's going to be under pressure.
Because on paper, they've got a good football side.
That's right.
So
maybe they haven't refreshed it as much as they should.
Are the Knights still... They're still alive.
Mathematically, yeah, mm. They're there. And if they play like they did last night, then absolutely. The Raiders, we've spoken earlier, shocked everyone, including the Melbourne Storm. The Rabbitohs have had their colours lowered by the Bulldogs. What could have been for the Bulldogs?
Well, have they won four of their last six now?
Five of their last seven.
It's fantastic. Yes. Can I be a bit narky? Why was the Storm Raiders game on at 5:30? Shouldn't it be on prime time? It made my choice of viewing last night very simple. Straight to Lords.
Right.
Flicking back watching the Rabbitohs Bulldogs game. But why wouldn't you have the best game of that day on in prime time?
Well, because they're not sure that was going to be the best day.
When that's
November.
That far out?
November.
That's ridiculous.
Hang on a minute. If you don't have that fixed schedule, everyone gets upset. When you do have the fixed schedule, everyone gets upset.
Wasn't it always a couple of months in advance you'd manipulate?
Not a couple of months.
6 weeks?
It used to be a case where they would go, okay, we'll do the first 20 weeks, yeah. And then any weeks after that, subsequently, we'll then look at...
Wouldn't that be better?
Well, hang on, Ray. Which proportion of the population are you looking to please here? Those people who like to know...
The rugby league community, that's all.
Ray Thomas speaking on behalf of the wider rugby league community.
What was the best game there yesterday?
It was the Raiders versus the Storm. I'm not arguing that point.
Why was it 5:30?
What was the best game in the AFL round that we've just
had? AFL, exactly the same. Friday night, Sydney-Melbourne, no relevance at all to the top eight.
Correct.
Primetime TV, didn't have to watch
it. But when they did the draw back in November... Sydney hadn't missed the finals in a decade, and Melbourne had finished third last year.
I know, but still, there's got to be some. Do you agree there should be some flexibility, especially getting towards the pointy end of the season?
You can't have it both ways.
Oh, I don't know.
Okay, all right. So we'll disagree on that one. Anyway.
And that's not disparaging Bulldogs or Rabbitohs fans. All I'm saying is the best game there yesterday was on at 5:30. You probably got to see it, John. I saw the last 15 minutes when I got home from work. So a lot of people would have got to see it, I know. But I'm having a whinge. Sorry, James.
No, go ahead. We're used to it on a Sunday now. Roosters v Warriors today. The Sharks versus Dragons as well. By the way, what have Carlton done with your man down there?
They gave him a job.
Fair dinkum. How long they give him?
He's got 3 years.
Well, fair enough. He's turned. You may or may not be able to confirm this, and this is for our listeners that love their AFL around the country. We are around the country now too, by the way. Mm-hmm. Is it true that they chaired him around the park over having the win against St Kilda? Is that right?
No.
Based on what we've seen, didn't he get the standing ovation at the reunion?
At the 79 Premiership reunion, got a standing ovation. We've turned the club around, James.
Right.
Six wins from 9 games.
The CEO of Tabcorp, David Attenborough, has announced during the course of the week some record profit results, so congratulations to them on that one.
Just slip that one in.
No, all I'm saying is this, that maybe there would be a $15,000 ring that you'll be able to give to Tanya.
Seriously, what's your take on that with the NRL with Cameron Smith?
I think it's over the top.
Mm.
I think it's a misuse of funds.
Mm.
Is the contribution of Barb Smith significant within
absolutely,
the life of Cameron
absolutely.
And his football career? Undoubtedly. Mm. Undoubtedly.
Not arguing that.
And then the other thing is, if you're going to make that gesture, okay, fine, and your colleague Paul Kent wrote yesterday, how many tackle bags is that? You know, seriously, in a struggling country rugby league...
It's a very, very good point.
Well, here's the next thing.
Mm.
If you're really confident about it, disclose it straight away.
Yeah. Exactly.
Just say, this is what we're doing for Cameron. We're doing this, and we're giving a $15,000 ring to his wife, Barb.
Yeah.
But they didn't. Mm. Why?
And that doesn't look good.
That's exactly
why it's
right.
Debate. Also, our learned good friend Gus Gould, Phil Gus Gould, had some very interesting comments to make late last week about where the NRL could be in 20 years, and he's basing that on how the game is changing now, and particularly the interpretation of certain rules, and how it's now causing the game, which was based on aggression and a certain fear factor, to be brought right back into play. And he says in 20 years we won't have the NRL anymore. Do you agree?
It'll be so different. It'll be so different the way that it's looked at. And concussions is a big part of that. Concussion and the safety aspect is a big part of that. There's two schools of thought, and there's two feelings that I have based around that. Mm-hmm. And that is this. The fact that it is dangerous makes it popular.
Correct.
Right? Because we like to watch things. I think there was the famous American TV producer said, if you could broadcast war, it'd be a ratings winner. Well, we've known that with CNN,
yes.
Right? You know, so that is, the more dangerous it is, but then you've got to get someone to play it.
Mm.
So which mums and dads are going to send little Johnny and little Sarah out there to play this really dangerous game?
It's getting the balance right is so difficult.
That's right.
I know what Gus is saying. I respect his opinion because he, when it comes to rugby league, he knows more than...
Well, he's so attached to the game.
But to get that balance right, Jim, and ensure the juniors are still coming through the ranks, that's the key, isn't it?
Yep.
The game has to be appealing to the younger people still.
And there is two metrics that you have to follow very closely, and that is how many people are watching your game, consuming your game, whatever you want to see, and how many people are playing your game.
Exactly.
And you can add touch footy numbers, you can do that, you can all that sort of stuff, but at the end of the day, the product that goes on television is the one where there's an element of danger.
Correct. We haven't even mentioned the second test at Lords, which... To be fair, Jimmy, you're still in the balance here. England are 4 for 96 overnight, going to day 5, lead by 104 runs. If Australia can knock them off quickly, they could chase down these runs potentially. But Steve Smith, 92,
wow.
He was Australia's rock again in the first innings at 250.
He failed, Steve Smith.
I tell you what, though, Jofra Archer has got him with a vicious bouncer. Steve Smith had to go off for a while, retired. Hurt. Did come back on, to be fair. Went to hospital last night in England to get his arm checked. He also got struck on his arm, fortunately no breaks, and also just to make sure he didn't field again in the afternoon when England came back out to bat, but it was a vicious bounce. So Jofra Archer's he's going to make a good test career, that bloke. He's quick, he's fast, he's lively, and he has got a really good bouncer.
England lead by 8 runs on the first innings. As a result, they lead overall by 104. 4 for 96, including the wicket of Joe Root, first ball. Brilliant bowling from Paddy Cummins. What's going to be the score that troubles Australia, Raymond?
Anything above 200, I think.
Okay. Mm. Okay. So, crucial first morning. Day 5 already. It seems like it shouldn't be day 5.
The game's in the balance. It really is now. Losing those 4 wickets to England late last night has opened the door slightly for Australia. Whose position would you prefer to be in? Joe Root's or Timmy Payne's?
Well, Joe Root's out for naught.
No,
sitting
no.
I know what you say. Caught by Timmy Payne. Nah, let's stay with the Aussies. Stay with the Aussies. It's amazing. It's happened in 3 days.
It's happened in three days.
Mm. They've been very lucky over there, because the Saturday and Sunday, you would think, well, if it was over in 3 days, they wouldn't get their big Saturdays and Sundays. Well, now they're going to have the biggest 2 days on their Saturdays and Sundays. We'll stay with that as well. Talk topic today, Roman. You had a good one last night.
Parents and their children.
Yes. Parents and their children, start us off.
As in famous.
Yeah. Do they have to be in the same sport?
Yes.
What about fathers and daughters?
Yeah, absolutely.
They have to
mothers
play the same
sons?
Sport?
Yeah, same sport. And the reason I'm saying that, what are you talking about?
Well, my nomination's out then.
I did say, text you last, said same sports. The reason I'm saying it, Kostya Sue and Timothy Sue.
Yes.
Gee, he looks like him. He fights like his dad.
He does, doesn't he?
He was good on Wednesday night.
Yes.
Yeah, so he's now still unbeaten in his professional career, and he's heading for the top, Timothy Sue, just like his old man was back in the early 90s, and he was defensively as good a fighter as I've ever seen at the World Amateurs.
13:53:53. Jamie Lee Price.
You're not, sorry?
Jamie Lee Price. Now, from what I understand, Steve Price was a very good netballer, except that he got his calling in the world of rugby league, all right? So, you want the same... This is what I saw, didn't look at that extra text message.
I'm trying
message
to work out where Jamie Lee Price is.
Jamie Lee Price. She is the daughter of Steve Price.
Should we broaden the talk topic then?
Of course we should.
Okay.
You're not going to just run in silos of you have to play the same sport as your parent. Come on, we're going to, you know, spread it a little bit wider than that. So there you go. Steve Price's daughter, Jamie Lee. They reckon she's physical too, very aggressive at the ball. So she's a gun. So there we go. By the way, don't send an SMS in. Not yet anyway.
We're still working on that.
We're working overtime on that one. But you can give us a call, 1353 53. It is the Big Sports Breakfast weekend. We'll take a break and we'll try and make some sense of this mayhem.
Does your small business need new equipment, another renovation, a little more stock, or even some extra staff? A business loan could help. Look no further than OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. OnDeck Group are trusted by over 80,000 small businesses worldwide and have already lent over $10 billion globally. So for a loan to grow your business with money in your account as fast as the next business day, visit ondeck.com.au now. All loans are subject to lender approval.
Uh-oh, here comes Jono. How does he like to say hi again? Was he the hugger or the high-fiver or classic handshake? Oh, I can't remember.
If only it was as easy as Tabs Odds and Evens, where you choose if the first two place-getters in a race will be odd or even numbers or split, or just spin the wheel to help you decide. Too easy.
Yep, I just slapped his face. Yep, right in the chops.
Tabs Odds and Evens. Give it a spin today. Available to New South Wales TAB customers on all Australian racing. See tab.com.au for full T's and C's. Gamble responsibly.
Hi, I'm Lane Beachley. When it comes to recycling, there aren't always easy answers. But when it comes to recycling printer cartridges, most Australians know what to do. Thanks to Cartridges for Planet Ark. That's why we've already recycled 40 million cartridges. Or enough to fill 80 Olympic swimming pools. To find your nearest cartridge collection box, or to order one for your workplace. Search Cartridges for Planet Ark and get involved today.
Ever dreamt of owning a share in a racehorse? Running in the world's richest country race? Well, the Kosciuszko is back. And you could win a share in a horse running in the $1.3 million race on Everest Day, October 19. To enter the draw, purchase a $5 Kosciuszko ticket on the TAB app or at your local. The Kosciuszko. Tickets on sale now. Entry open to New South Wales residents only. Visit thekosciuszko.com.au for details. Racing New South Wales authorised under New South Wales permit number GOCSC 1042. Gamble responsibly. Gamblers help 1800 858 858.
On Sky Sports Radio, Penrith Mazda brings you the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray. Live at Stonecutters Ridge for the New South Wales Open.
Stonecutters Ridge this morning. We could have finished the show and gone and played 18 holes.
I'll tell you what we're going to do throughout, and look, there's we've got people away today, a couple of people away, and we've got people filling in and doing a great job.
However,
what we will do throughout the course of the morning is just tell you where we're not. Okay? So we're not at Stonecutters, all right? Great golf course.
Oh, it is. Hey, James, I will say, James, we haven't mentioned Ash Barty quickly. She did lose her semi-final overnight in Cincinnati, so she doesn't regain the world number one spot.
Right.
Unfortunately, but she's just starting to run back into a bit of form ahead of the US Open.
Did you get fined $114,000 during the course of the week?
Who was that person again? Have we forgotten about him?
What about he won the week before in Washington. We're like, yes, gee, we love Nick Kyrgios, isn't
Bolstorn,
he great?
A bit like the Wallabies.
No doubt.
Hey, good racing yesterday at Randwick's Kensington Track and at Caulfield. The first horse I want to highlight, I think this horse is a rising star. Second start, breaks the track record. His name is Pandemic.
Making Whoopi on the outside of all cylinders, a length clear from Concrete. That Exotic Ruby. Now Pandemic's going to need a bit of luck here. Buried looking for the gap. Keeping it there is Aussie as Pandemic works into the clear now. 200 out, all cylinders. Making Whoopi, Exotic Ruby. Pandemic into the clear. Matty Rocks going with it. Pandemic gets to the front now from Matty Rocks. Great acceleration. And Pandemic spreading now, goes on to win it by a length to Matty Rocks.
Absolutely incredible. Mm. The acceleration, as mentioned by Darren Flindell. By the way, Darren Flindell has a call coming up.
Yeah.
Now, I'm presuming we've got the replay of Wolf.
We have.
Oh, I can't wait for that. He's absolutely fantastic.
He's in great form, Darren Flindell.
I can't wait to speak to Darren Beeman about Tommy Berry and the ride, because he had a lot of horse under him, just had to get out. When he did, wow. I don't think I've seen a horse accelerate like that.
to be fair, the runner-up, Matty Rocks, is highly regarded in the Chris Waller stable, and Tommy Berry knows Matty Rocks pretty well. So right. He thought, I'm in a spot of bother here.
Yes.
Pandemic's gone straight past her.
Watching standing still.
Oh, they're both very, very good horses. He ran extraordinary time. Just his second race start. Keep him down in your black book, Pandemic. He'll win a good race very shortly. You mentioned Wolf. You mentioned Darren Flindell's call. Let's listen to it.
Stampede ups the tempo, coming around the corner. Hieronymus gave it more rein. Stampede leads by two on Wolf. Clark just sitting pretty quietly for the moment. Now he just starts to feel for Wolf, giving chase to the front runner. They're three clear from Goodfella. Then So You Win, Wugok, and High Opinion. Stampede ahead in front to Wolf. He's drawing level now. He pulls the stick on Wolf. He's huffing and puffing at the 100. He blows away Stampede and So You Win. And Wolf, a great return to racing. Won it by three quarters to Stampede. So You Win the third. High Opinion closing off.
Huffing and puffing and blows him away. Very, very good, Darren. Thoroughly enjoyed that. By the way, good run from Stampede, it must be said, at odds.
Feeding Wolf 10 kilos.
Wow.
Set the pace, as he always does. A great return to form by Stampede. Wolf was first up since late May, over 1,800. So there's significant improvement going forward.
Yes.
He's a promising stayer.
And I think Tim Clark said as much. Gets to the front and doesn't know really what to do. I think the winning margin is less than a length.
Yep.
And we'll ask Adrian Bott, who we've got on the program a little bit later on, just what the best distance might be or how far Wolf can get.
Good point. On to the race seven, and Girl Tuesday, I think she was the best bred horse there at Randwick yesterday by Winx Desire, Street Cry, out of Tuesday Joy, who Singo race won a lot of Group 1s.
Yes.
He's got a good one here. Her name is Girl Tuesday.
In corner now, it's Cradle Mountain ahead in front of Special Missile. First Handers coming off heels, followed by Fabrizio. Bangkok looking to get into the clear. She's some argy bargy there for Bangkok. She's out now. Then came Wednesday and Girl Tuesday lengthening the outside. Special Missile got to Cradle Mountain. Has got a bit of a kick the inside. Wide out is Girl Tuesday with Bangkok. Cradle Mountain, but wide out Girl Tuesday lengthening. And Girl Tuesday powers over the top to win it. Bangkok grabs second just in front of Cradle Mountain. Then First Hand further back.
Impressive, James.
Very impressive. Yeah. Sorry, a little bit distracted in here today.
We're back in the game with our SMSs.
We are. We're back with our SMS. So, by the way, send an SMS in if you would like, 0419 767 272. About 15 minutes ago, I said, look, don't send an SMS. There's fair dinkum hundreds on there. Great to see they're listening.
What would we do without our good tech guys, eh? We'd be completely lost in this joint, seriously.
Yeah. Well, they got us in the problem to start with, but anyway,
you can't say that. The guy's
here he is.
You're a hard man.
Fair enough.
Thanks so much, mate. He's done a super job getting us back online.
What's his name?
He's a good tech guy.
What's your name, mate? Jeremy. Well done, Jeremy. Not producer Jeremy. Well done, Jeremy. So he's got us sorted. Raymond, where are we with your race replays? I'll tell you what, this is going to be the longest race replays in history. However, the most entertaining.
I'm loving it. Okay. On the Caulfield now, and well, we mentioned earlier that Godolphin had a really good day. Here's one of their big race winners at Caulfield. He's a star. His name is Bivouac.
Star Surprises back with it. Separate at the 300 metres, led Dirty Work by a length. Bivouac now eases out three wide, doing it easily. Then Excess Funds, Dubious, and Star Surprise. Separate at the 200 metres. Now Bowman lets down Bivouac, and it exploded. Bivouac goes to the front, pumped away hands and heels. Two, three, four lengths in front of Cantonin. Bivouac did it easily. Separate second. Third Dirty Work from Dubious. Didn't look comfortable today. Then Excess Funds.
There's Matty Hill. We are looking for what's next for Bivouac. It's currently a second or third favourite, equal third favourite with Dawn Passage for the Golden Rose. Exceedance and yes, yes, yes. City Ford says yes more often at $9.
And then Godolphin did back up and won the Fillies division with Exhilarates, who was very, very good.
Exhilarates was the Magic Millions winner?
Correct,
yes.
Yeah, and she's back in a big way. Also back in a big way is Mystic Journey, Tasmania's fairy tale mare. She just keeps winning.
So Cliff's Edge has them running up to the turn. At the 400 metres, two lengths to Hartnell, who queues up with Harlem. Mystic Journey to the outside. Then Secunderabad, 50 stars, Mr. Marathon Man. Cliff's Edge at the 200 metres in front. Mystic Journey now unleashing down the middle, followed by Hartnell, Secunderabad. Cliff's Edge at the 150. Mystic Journey, it has got it now. Mystic Journey moves up, takes the lead, and the journey continues in grand style. Mystic Journey, three quarters, Cliff's Edge, Hartnell, third, fourth Secunderabad, then came Mr. Marathon.
So we're going to have a new winner of the Cox Plate this year, apparently. They're not letting the other girl run.
Oh, okay. Wince is retired.
Wince is retired, that's right. Mystic Journey, a $5 favourite. Avelius at $6. This is for the Cox Plate, 26th of October. Danceteria is $11 with Very Elegant. So Waller has one in the market there.
And we'll see Avelius, amongst others, including Very Elegant, next Saturday in the Winx Stakes. Hartnell was good running 30. Was brave, wasn't he, as
the
always?
The old boy.
He's 9 years old.
How much prize money has Hartnell won?
Almost $7 million.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been a fantastic horse. That's our race replays. James, as you mentioned, we have had a few SMSs coming on our talk topic. This is from Gary from Newcastle. Muhammad Ali and his daughter, Layla Ali.
Correct.
Very good one. And
although
also,
you didn't. Oh, yeah, no, you did. I was going to say, you didn't follow Ray's rules.
No, that's same sport.
That's right, same sport.
And this is a good one, too. Morning, Jimmy and Ray. Matty Rogers, son of the great Steve Rogers.
Absolutely.
Both Australian players of some repute. Rod Reddy and his kids. He's got a number of them. That's from Jack from Old Bar.
He's got a heap. Mm. There's Liam, there's Joel, and Bianca.
Yep, that's right.
So they've done exceptionally well. Well done. 1353 is the open line number. Let's get the callers now. Why don't we go to Anthony out there at Parramatta. G'day, Anthony.
Good morning.
Morning, Anthony.
Tony Turnbull was a good side, but my suggestion...
Tony Turnbull used to train and drive Honda Grattan. He's got about, four or five sons and daughters, I reckon,
Anthony?
Yeah,
and grandkids.
Yeah,
but
grandkids.
But my suggestion is the Smichaels. Son won the Premier League with Leicester and father won many in Manchester United.
Mm, very good.
Yes, yeah, good one. I like
Schmeichel
it.
Peter Schmeichel and... Oh, yeah, I can't think of the boy's name. Yeah.
The boy from Leicester.
Not Michael Schmeichel, is it?
No. Can I have a bit of a whinge?
Oh, well, go ahead. Ray's been going flat out all morning.
No, I haven't. Yes,
you have.
I want to have a look. Apart from you guys, there's sections of the media who are full of hysterics and agenda. Now, can I remind those sections of the media that they had a crack at Mickey Arthur about rotating Mitchell Starc? Well, Mitchell Starc, he's been gone a long while. Mitchell Starc still hasn't played a test at Lords, and he's been there three or four times.
Mm. Yeah.
With other coaches, which weren't named Mickey Arthur.
Yeah, no, exactly right. It, somehow, you know, there's been a lot of huffing and puffing about rotation policies, but all of a sudden, because we have got four or five pacemen that are of similar quality, although I think there are first among equals, that a rotation policy is somehow okay.
Well, I'm with you, mate. If I had a choice between facing up to Mitchell Starc or Siddle, I'd be taking Siddle every day of the week. But it's amazing how these people who know who they are very quiet all of a sudden.
Timing is everything, and it's, as my late father used to say, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And I don't think there's ever been a truer word spoken. So good on you, Anthony. Thanks for the call. We do appreciate that. Let's keep going down the line here, mate. We've got Lex on the line from Rockhampton. G'day, Lex.
How are you, Jimmy?
Very well, mate. Great to have you on the program.
All righty. Now, it's Casper Schmeichel. Was that young man who played for Leicester?
Casper Schmeichel. Thank you very much.
Well done.
And now, my suggestion, or among many, of course, would be Andre Agassi.
Yes.
And I do believe his father was an Olympic boxer for Iran.
Oh, really? Okay.
Oh, I know he had a very interesting relationship with his father, who used to basically torture him to practice and practice and practice.
He didn't love tennis, so to speak, did
he? No.
And that's interesting.
That's a very good one. Not that we don't believe you, Lex, but we're just going to check it out.
Sure, but I've seen that in one of his books. His father was an Olympic boxer.
Okay, there you go.
There we go. Fantastic.
I like it, Lex.
Fantastic. All right, Emmanuel Agassi. There you go. He was Turkish-Armenian.
Raised in a Christian household in Tehran, Iran. There you go.
Okay, all right. Well, good on you, Lex.
Yeah,
great nomination. There we go. We do appreciate that. Oh, this could be anything, Raymond. The old Sea Dog is on the line. Hello, old Sea Dog.
G'day. Boys, how you going, mate?
really well, mate.
Up here at the beach here at Murray, was it? It's Wales gone crazy.
Oh.
Father and son.
Yep. Yes.
And going boxing the Mundine.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Tony Mundine and the great...
Anthony was... Tony was a lovely man and very quiet and never talking any rubbish. And his son was a bit different there. As you all know about that.
Different era. Yeah. I remember when Tony Mundine, father, fought Carlos Monzon.
Yes.
I think it was in Argentina by memory, old Sea Dog. And he took him to about 7 or 8 rounds. Carlos Monzon probably at the time was the best fighter pound for pound just about in the world. That was the era of Muhammad Ali. And but he was a great fighter himself, wasn't he, Tony Mundine?
I'm losing you.
Are you with us? You got another nomination?
Yeah, I'm back. Yep. Oh, that's it, yeah.
No, that's good.
I tell you what. I'm jealous you're up there on the beach at Merriweather watching the whales. So it sounds like a good start to your Sunday morning.
So I'll be out in a couple of hours. I'm the old man of the sea up here.
Very good.
Well done.
I was 69 yesterday.
Happy birthday, old Sea Dog.
Happy birthday, Sea Dog.
Thank you, boys.
Good on you, mate. Yeah, hope you have a great day today as well. 1353 53, the open line number.
And this is from Ross at Foster. Ray, this morning you said the English bowling was fast, lively and quick. Could you please explain to me the difference between these words? That's the kind of mindless rubbish, etc. No, good point.
No,
Ross at
fast and quick are the same, yes, but lively is very different.
Yeah. But we were having some technical issues and we're actually... No excuse for that, but Ross, I'll take it.
Well, you just offered one.
Yeah, I did, actually. That's why I retracted it straight away.
By the way, Emmanuel Agassi, who was born Agassian, was Iranian Olympian in 1948 and 1952 Summer Olympics, losing in the first round both times.
Lex right on the money.
Good on you, Lex. Spot on with that one. 1353 53, the open line number. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more.
Our customers love having a local shop, but I need more funds to help keep my shelves stocked.
When you're ready to grow your business, you should call OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. OnDeck Group has lent over $10 billion US to over 80,000 small businesses globally. Get approval in hours and funds in your account as early as the next business day. At OnDeck, we say yes to small business. So for a loan to help you get ahead, apply now at ondeck.com.au. All loans are subject to lender approval.
Sky Racing Active. It's got all your racing needs.
Can you create racing playlists?
Yes, with race alerts and tips.
Can you stream races you've missed?
Definitely.
And your favourite racing shows?
Yup.
Can you watch races that are yet to run?
That you can't do. For everything else, download Sky Racing Active on your Apple iOS or Android device and get access to a 60-day free trial period.
Sky Racing Active. It's racing the way you want it.
Trial offer ends October 7th, 2019. 18 plus. Eligible customers only. Exclusive Vic and SA Thoroughbreds. Sydney's newest must-see home renovation destination is now open. Wide-line windows and doors, state-of-the-art livable showroom features an impressive range of residential, designer and architectural designs on display. Experience window shopping like never before. See how your home will look and feel with our stunning contemporary 310 square metre showroom, plus find solutions to improve energy efficiency, acoustics, privacy and security. Wideline Liverpool will bring your home reno vision to life. Located at 12 Home Pride Avenue, Warwick Farm, open 6 days.
Ribchester, the European champion miler twice and four-time Group 1 winner, including the Group 1 Queen Anne at Royal Ascot in record time. Ribchester, a son of successful shuttle stallion Ifraj, with record-breaking form at a mile, free of Danehill and Danzig blood, a great outcross for the many Danehill line mares in this country. Mares by Exceed and Excel, Snitzel, Not a Single Doubt, and many others. For more information, visit darley.com.au.
Program.
Adrian
Botten. Yeah, you were, weren't you, Ray? Yeah,
no, you were.
Hey, just want to make mention of a mate of mine, Wilbur, out there at Parks. And yesterday, Parks had a non-TAB race meeting. It was supporting Michael Hackett, Road to Recovery. Now, Michael used to work with Wilbur and the team out at the local mine, and they actually sponsored a race. Just trying to get it up here. It's the Sea Crew Bogger Bash Maiden Plate. And they raised a couple of $1,000 there for Michael in his recovery after that terrible fall at the Tomingley picnics a couple of months ago. So well done, Wilbur, and the team out there at Parks.
And sending our best to Michael Hackett. Just on our talk topic, had a couple come in. Andrew and Lindsay Gaze.
Yes.
Of course, basketball icons. That's actually from Andrew. My good friend Nathan Exelby has just typed in, surely Gary Ablett Sr. and Gary Ablett Jr., two of the greatest AFL players of all time, James.
No doubt about it. What about TJ Smith and Gay Waterhouse?
Oh, well done.
There we go.
And a few people have mentioned Bart Cummings, Anthony, James, and also Bart's father, Jim. And this man, Adrian Bott, is back from holidays and back as when you mentioned Wolf earlier, Jim. He was really impressive, and Adrian's been good enough to join us. Adrian, good morning. And well, Jim asked earlier, what's the best distance for Wolf? I guess you're still finding out, Adrian.
Yeah, no, well and truly, it was great to see him back in winning form there again yesterday, and you know, still best is yet to come from him, and it's exciting, you know, what lays ahead. He's very very untapped, and really looking forward to testing him over that sort of trip. And the way he just helps himself so much, he relaxes in his races, and he just switches off. He's got the tactical speed. He's obviously got a brilliant turn of foot as well over that sort of trip. But, obviously long-range plan would love to see him in a Melbourne Cup. So I think the distance of a cup would worry him at all.
The other thing about Wolf is that there's still a fair bit of learning to do, from what I understand. Timmy Clark saying it. Look, he gets to the front and he thinks that's job done. So there's a bit of work to do from that point of view, Adrian.
Yeah, look, it's I guess sort of watching his sort of previous races, he never, you know, wins by big margins. So
no.
It's sort of always a little bit hard just visually sort of watching the races and the style of wins to sort of really get a gauge of how much depth there is to him. And I guess that was sort of probably the, I guess what we're still learning. But, you know, Tim's given us some great feedback with him and obviously feels that there's a lot more there. And, yeah, it's sort of, he's quite an interesting character to work with. So it's, when you sort of put all that together, it's exciting sort of potentially what is there when he is tested and how far we can actually sort of take him in that sense.
It's almost like he waits for other horses, doesn't he, Adrian? Like he got the better of Stampede, your other horse. So I must admit, ran a great race, conceding 10 kilos to Wolf. But I reckon if a horse actually made a race of it with Wolf, he'd definitely find a couple of lengths.
Yeah, and probably going back to his start prior to that over the 2,000 metres at Randwick, I think he went round at $1.50 and he led them up and he had all the favours in front. He was able to control them, with the... you would have thought he wouldn't have been able to be beaten from that position, but he just wandered around and never really looked like he was, he was just sort of waiting for them, drifted out to them. But when they came to him and challenged, he responded well. But for the odds that he was, he probably gave a few few backers a few nervous moments. But he's always sort of in control, but just doing what he needs to.
Mm. Can I ask you this question? And I was watching it there yesterday as Wolf and Stampede went hammer and tongs up the Kensington Straight. Was it as much about Wolf and Stampede as it was about Clark and Hieronymus and the competitiveness that exists between jockeys, Adrian?
Yeah, well and truly. Obviously they both do a huge amount of work for us behind the scenes, and they know our horses very well and know our style of racing. Adam's had a fair bit to do with Wolf as well. So I think, he probably wasn't as impressed to see him bobbing up when he did. But in fairness, sort of even knowing the horse, Adam as well could tell, knowing how well Stampede ran, he knew even once he was headed, he could see how much Wolf had just switched off and how easily he was doing it. So he knew he was sort of well and truly had him covered and just was doing it easy. But he was still further improvement from Stampede as well. Adam was delighted with that run. And now that we're sort of getting him up to the suitable trips, and he just sort of needed a bit of racing to get back to that form after that long break. So, certainly when you look at the weight difference there, 10 kilos, I think it was, sort of phenomenal run. And definitely once he gets under some probably better weight conditions or some set weights and penalties races, he'll be well placed.
Yeah, no, he's a promising horse, as is Stampede. Terrific return for you, Adrian, off your short break, and hopefully we're talking to you many times over the spring carnival.
Looking forward to it. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Adrian.
There he is, Adrian Bott, co-trainer with Gay Waterhouse, who fits very nicely into our talk topic today. in the same family, of course. Correct. Your stringent rules that you've placed around the nominations today, 1353, is that open line number.
Yeah,
we did. We did broaden it because mine wasn't within your stringent rules. So there we go.
Great to see this man back in Sydney racing. He's had a wonderful career and he's plenty more big race wins ahead of him, no doubt. Glenn Boss is on the line. He rode Girl Tuesday for John Singleton and Chris Waller yesterday. Glenn, good morning. Well, can we say welcome home, Glenn?
Yeah, of course. Good morning, Ray. How are you, Jimmy?
Very well, mate. Very well. Congratulations on that. Hey, that's a bit of a breakthrough, Glenn. And from what I understand and hearing what was said during the course of the week, there was probably times where you thought it may not happen and you were perhaps trying too hard to get results.
Yes, that was an important victory for me, to be honest. You know, you have moments in your career and you think, you'll probably look back and reflect on yesterday was probably one of those because haven't long been back in Sydney. I mean, I'm probably getting a little bit ahead of myself. You know, I've been back about 3 weeks or so. And it's obviously, I make no bones about it. I've said it publicly. This is probably the strongest jockey's room in the world.
Yes.
In Sydney. I've got no doubt about that. It's just the ranks here are just incredibly strong. And so it was always going to be tough to break in. But for me, that was part of the allure, I suppose, you know, coming back here and see if I could still mix it.
That to say, Glenn, knowing you, I reckon that competitive juice is in you. You'd want to get yourself out there because you love testing yourself against the very best.
Well, that was part of the thing, right? That's what attracted me to the place, to be honest. I just, you know, living in Singapore, I probably just lost that, you know, and probably the last year when I was there, I probably just lost that, you know, that edge.
Yep.
I just sort of, I come back here and I thought, went to Brisbane and I thought, no, that didn't really suit me. It just didn't feel right. And then I come here and actually, to be very honest, Ryan, I know it was tough, but it just felt like the right thing to do. I actually felt very comfortable here. And wouldn't believe it, Chris Waller pulled me up on Wednesday at the race. We had a really good chat. And he said, I've been watching you. He said, but you're riding well, but I can see you're actually trying too hard. And he said, just come back a length, relax, and just trust your abilities. And it meant a lot because when someone like Chris is, you know, I mean, his stature and what he's done, and if he makes the time to actually come up and pull you aside and have a really good, not just a couple of minute chat, good 15-minute chat.
Yep.
And you can tell it's actually really genuine. Like, when I looked at his eyes, I could tell this bloke, it was really genuine, you know. And he said, you mate, just trust yourself and relax, and I will support you. And then all of a sudden come out back Wednesday, you feel different and you ride different, and then you get that sort of result on one of his horses, which was really, really fitting.
Mm. Can you take us inside the jockey's room? Because I was just talking to Ray about it. Nash Rawilla comes back, and he's now, you know, 10 years ago was one of the elite, the very strongest in Sydney. Now you're back. Huey wasn't there yesterday, but you talk about that competitive. What's it actually like in the jockey's room, Glenn? Is it because there's all those safety issues that we hear so much about, and is there a camaraderie there? How overt is the competitiveness between jockeys?
The camaraderie is probably second to none, I'd say. And that goes to say with, you know, that doesn't matter if it's Sydney or Melbourne or Brisbane or Adelaide. It's always there, you know. Like,
sure.
The respect between each other is all, it's very high because generally, like we all know how dangerous our sport is. And, and when we see incidents happen, you know, we all come together. That goes without saying. The competitiveness, of course, it's very, very high. I was actually talking to many people about this, like I said, how strong the jockeys' ranks are a bit here, but it's just not how strong they are. They're all actually riding, and they're probably all at the peak of their powers at the moment. You know, J-Mac, and you got Huey and Kieran, you know, Tommy Berry, Brendan Abdullah. There's so many of them here at the moment, you know, Blakey Shin just obviously left. You know, Corey's injury, but like these guys are really at the top of their powers, and I'm got no doubt, and I'd be confident these guys go anywhere in the world, and could be, you know, they just go, well, this bloke, geez, doesn't he go with this bloke? You know, anywhere in the world. So the trainers and the owners and participants in Sydney are probably, you know, very golden era at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or speaking of yesterday, Glen Girl Tuesday, she's bred to be a star. It rekindled an old association for you with John Singleton that you were telling me yesterday went way back to 1994. And, I think she's a mare our listeners can follow through the spring, Glen.
Yeah, I think so. She's bred to be like a superstar, and she's got the physical makeup to be a superstar. She's got a bit of a presence about her. She's big and strong like a mother. I trolled her 3 weeks ago at Warwick Farm, and it trolled up really good. Gave me a really good feel, positive feel, and I was hoping to be on her on race day, and lucky enough I was. And it's funny, you know, speaking to the young girl that was strapping her, she said she's always been a handful to be on the ground. She's an absolute bit of a nightmare, a bit of a handful to handle all the time. But she said this preparation, she's been different. She's been a lot calmer. She seems to be a lot more together. So, and that's how she was on race day. So, yeah, so sometimes these, you know, these men get a little bit older and it all just starts to fit. And they all just start to get it. And all of a sudden their true ability starts to come out because, you know, their mindset, you know, it's more of a mental thing than a physical thing because they've obviously got the body and they can run time. It's just the mental stuff. It all just starts to come together. And so hopefully that's what's happened with her, and she might be in for a very good prep for Duncan Grimley and John Singleton. I hope they have a really good prep with her.
Speaking of the prep, 15-minute heart-to-heart with the trainer during the course of the week. Then you come out on the Saturday and win for him on one of his well-bred horses. It'd be pretty hard to get you off, I'd imagine, Bossy. Have you spoken about what's next for Girl Tuesday?
I think she'll go to the Mikkel Cup, I think. I think on the way she'll probably go, she'll head towards...
A Premier's Cup sort of thing?
Premier's Cup, sorry, yeah, you're right. You're right there. And then she'll head towards the Metropolitan, that'll be her path. And then hopefully beyond, you know. So it'll be interesting. You know, obviously she's put in that huge effort first up. She's a stayer, so second up mightn't be the same fast legs, but anyway, she's in the right care to sort of guide her through the preparation, so... Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where she ends up.
Yeah. Hey, Glen, great to have you back on Sydney Tracks. And not only that, but winning as well. And fantastic to have you on the program on this Sunday morning. And as Ray says, let's hope we do it a fair bit, especially with the upcoming spring.
Yeah, thanks, Jimmy. Yeah, it's nice to be home. Thanks, Ray.
Thanks, Glen. Good on you.
Good on you, Glen. Great. How many group ones?
82.
Yeah, 82, in including three Melbourne Cups.
7 Doncasters, 2 Golden Sippers, 3 Cox Plates. He's had a career and a half.
And then he's almost had to come back in Sydney and start again.
But as you said, that's what's really motivating him, isn't it? Because he wants to be the best. He's always had that. And elite sportsmen have to have that edge, haven't they?
Yes.
They've got to want to compete at the top level and put themselves out there. And I reckon it's great. I don't think I've seen Glen Boss or Nash Rewilla, who both men are in their 40s now, look fitter.
Right.
They look so fit.
Corey Brown was the same too,
exactly,
wasn't he?
Exactly, yeah. I saw Corey on Thursday night.
How's he travelling?
Yeah, he's looking 12 months. Out.
12 months.
Yeah, unfortunately. He can't rush that back injury, but he'll be back.
Absolutely. 13:53:53 if you want to have your say on Glen Boss. Time now to say good morning for the first time to Tanya with Scratchings Around the Country. Morning, Tan.
Morning, everyone. Racing in New South Wales today is at Taree and Maruya. We have the Sunshine Coast in Queensland and no racing in South Australia. Let's start with Taree. The weather is fine. The track a good 3. The rail true, and there are 17 scratchings. Race 1, take out 5, Galaxial, number 5. Race 2, number 6, Emperor's Star, number 6. Race 3, number 2, Republic, number 2. Out of race 4, the emergencies, 15, 16, 17 and 18, 15 through to 18. Race 5 is clear. Race 6, number 2, San Marco. 7, I Wear Prada. 8, Party Host, and 13, Charlotte's Heart. 2, 7, 8, and 13. Race 7, number 1, Master of Arts. 8, Dalmatia Prince. 9, Lady Evelyn. 1, 8, and 9. And race 8, number 6, Kununga. 11, Second Island, and 13, Designer Maid. 6, 11, and 13 from race 8 at Taree. Maruya. The weather is fine. The track a good 4. The rail is out 3 metres from the 1,000 to the 350, and there are 13 scratchings. Race 1 is clear. Race 2, take out 2, Ammon Top Tep. Race number 3, Bronson the Beast, and 8, All About Me. 2, 3, and 8. Race 3, number 12, Easy Mover, and 13, Hasty Minx, 12 and 13. Out of race 4, number 2, Kiss My Swiss, and 7 ticked off, 2 and 7. Race 5 is clear. Race 6, number 2, Gitan, and 3, Old Man Sam, 2 and 3. And race 7, take out 1, No Emotion, 2, ScoMo Eagle, 3, Golly I'm Lucky, and 11, Away She Goes, 1, 2, 3 and 11 from race 7 at Maruya. And up to the sunny coast, where the weather is fine, the track a good 4, the rail is out 4 metres the entire course, penetrometer 6.43 and 28 scratchings. Race 1, take out 1, King's Full, 2, Kiriana, 1 and 2. Race 2, number 2, Bianchi Bravo, number 2. The third is Clear. Race 4, number 3, Zephyr Cruiser, number 3. Out of race 5, number 2, Fisticuffs. 4, Jarrow, 6, Prince of Morocco, 7, Replication, 8, River Rocket, 14, Miss, 15, Twerk, 16, Wasiwi, 17, Spirit Rich, 19, Leo the Lion, and 21, Samfire Ho. 2, 4, 6, 7, 8, 14, 15, 16, 17, 19, and 21. Race 6, number 1, King Ragnar, 3, Nothing Needed, and 5, Charway, 1, 3, and 5. Race 7, take out 5, Wicket Heights, 6, Filters, and 9, Coronation Glade, 5, 6, and 9. And race 8, number 2, Rumbarella, and the emergencies 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, and 23. So from race 8, take out 2, and the emergencies 18 through to 23. Boys.
Thanks, Tan. Tips today at Taree, race 5. Chris Lees has 2 very good chances. Bedivere is favourite, Jim, but I like number 6, Sir Winkle, to upset the stalemate. Race 5, number 6, Sir Winkle. Into race 6, number 12, Bella Star each way. And Maruya, race 2, number 1, Against the Tide. Into race 3, number 3, Bet of the Day stuff, Beach Club.
Good on you, Raymond. We'll put those out on social media as well. We'll take a break now. News very shortly, and then after the news, we'll have a chat with Zorba about all things rugby league. Darren Beedman from the Godolphin camp, and of course we'll take your thoughts on the open line and on the SMS about parents and their offspring and the elite sports people. All that coming up on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
I'm Sarah Wombe. The federal government is negotiating a new agreement with the Pharmacy Guild to deliver cheaper medicines to millions of Australians. Under the plan, pensioners and healthcare cardholders would receive 2 packets of pharmaceutical benefit scheme medicine for the price of 1. The New South Wales government has confirmed new laws recognising the loss of an unborn child due to a criminal act will be introduced into Parliament following the adoption of the abortion bill. Long dubbed Zoe's Law, the legislation would amend the Crimes Act to establish a separate offence for causing serious harm to or the death of an unborn child. The Telegraph reports the government will introduce its own bill rather than adopt one by Christian Democrat Fred Nile. A driver has been killed after a collision between a truck and a car near the Brisbane airport. The crash happened at Pinkenbar about 5 yesterday afternoon, with the male driver of the car pronounced dead at the scene. Matt McGregor from the Queensland Ambulance Services told Channel 9 the 33-year-old male truck driver had to be freed by emergency crews.
We were able to get the gentleman out in a timely fashion and get him up to the hospital as soon as we could.
Also in news, people will gather across the country today to remember the sacrifice of Australian soldiers who served in the Vietnam War. A man has died after he was shot by police at a home on Sydney's northern beaches. And a man has been found dead in a shopping centre car park in Melbourne's western suburbs. Overseas, New York police have arrested a man they're calling a person of interest after 2 rice cookers thought to be bombs were found at a busy Manhattan subway station. Reporter Steve Burns.
Authorities say 26-year-old Larry Griffin II was found unconscious in the Bronx early Saturday morning. He was taken to a local hospital for treatment and observation. Griffin is a native of the small town of Bruno, West Virginia. Authorities there are familiar with him. He's been arrested at least 3 times in the last 8 years. The Logan County Sheriff says they've had an arrest warrant out in his name since March, when he didn't show up for a mandatory drug test.
Sudan's army and the country's pro-democracy movement have signed a final power-sharing deal at a ceremony in the capital, Khartoum. The move paves the way for a transition to civilian-led government following the overthrow of President Omar al-Bashir in April. The BBC's Zainab Badawi has more.
There was a real kind of carnival atmosphere, a real mood of celebration, because this is a landmark historic deal which sets out a blueprint that should return Sudan to civilian rule. Interesting, a agreement because for the first 21 months it leaves the military still in the driving seat. For the next 18 months after that, the civilians are really the ones who are more in control. So although the civilian alliance is very happy that this is being agreed today, they're also vigilant because they want to make sure that the military adhere to this agreement.
Conservationists at a meeting in Switzerland have warned up to 1 million species are threatened with extinction. Delegates from more than 180 countries are meeting in Geneva, including discussions on whether to reopen the ivory trade. And dozens of people are feared dead or wounded after an explosion at a wedding hall in Afghanistan. This is AIR News. Ashley Barty lost her chance to regain the number one world ranking when the Australian was beaten in straight sets by Russian Svetlana Kuznetsova in the semi-finals of the Cincinnati Masters today. Top seed Barty, who would have replaced the injured Naomi Osaka as the world's top-ranked player with a victory, struggled with the rhythm of her service. She lost 6-2, 6-4. Newcastle has ended its losing streak and has kept its slim hopes of making the finals alive. Kalyn Ponga and Mitchell Pearce were back to their best as the Knights smashed North Queensland 42-6. Pearce has told Fox Sports it was a much improved performance.
Thought attack-wise, we started the first half really well, and we set up the second half through. I thought our defence was okay in the first half, but I thought in the second half we defended really well, and the points came off the back of it.
The Raiders and Bulldogs also posted wins. Essendon have secured their final spot and eased the pressure on coach John Worsfold with a 32-point AFL win over Fremantle at Optus Stadium. In the other games, there were wins to North Melbourne, Collingwood, Brisbane and Carlton. In the final test for rugby's Bledisloe Cup, the Wallabies have gone down to the All Blacks in New Zealand 36-0, and the Wallaroos were beaten by New Zealand 37-8. And in netball, Collingwood has defeated New South Wales 64-56. Melbourne Vixens will be looking to hang on to their top three position when they play second place the Sunshine Coast Lightning at Melbourne Arena this afternoon. Australian Independent Radio News.
Invader, a Group 1 winning son of the champion racehorse and sire Stitzel. Invader won the Group 1 Sire's Produce Stakes. Tap into breeding royalty with Invader.
It's a length and a half clear to Trapeze Artist. Invader's coming hard on the outside, and Invader goes on to win the English Sire.
Invader, the champion two-year-old colt of his generation. Standing at Aquas in the Hunter Valley in 2019. Invader, $25,000 plus GST. For more on Invader, go to aquasfarm.com.
The Anytime Fitness one-day sale is coming on August 21. For one day only, they're giving you $0 joining fee. Visit anytimefitness.com.au. T's and C's apply. In 5 Dock, Great North Road is closed between Queens and Lions Road for the festival today. There are detours in place. In Kurrajong Hills, we've got hazard reduction burns on Bell's Line of Road between Stone Terrace and Bellbird Avenue. Also in Blackslands Ridge on Putty Road between Upper Collo Road and Mid Turnbull Trail. There's a reduced speed limit of 40 km there. Buy a new single or double-storey Domain home by September 1st and save over $30,000. Visit domainhomes.com.au for more details today. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Sydney's newest must-see home renovation destination is now open. Wideline Windows and Doors state-of-the-art Liverpool showroom features an impressive range of residential, designer and architectural designs on display. Experience window shopping like never before. See how your home will look and feel with our stunning contemporary 310 square metre showroom, plus find solutions to improve energy efficiency, acoustics, privacy and security. Wideline Liverpool will bring your home reno vision to life. Located at 12 Home Pride Avenue, Warwick Farm, open 6 days.
And now for the most exciting 2 minutes in sports.
The very best of U.S. racing 7 days a week.
Looking at Lee, can't catch, always dreaming, who's the 143rd winner of the Kentucky Derby.
Live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network.
The Big Sports Breakfast Grand Final Lunch is on again. Join your host TK and Loz in the Grand Ballroom at Royal Randwick Wednesday, October the 2nd. The fun kicks off at 12:30 when your Master of Ceremonies, Dave Stanley, welcomes you to enjoy a gourmet three-course lunch, five-hour beverage package, and to rub shoulders with royalty of the NRL and racing world. The midweek Randwick meeting will be in full swing, as will the Sky Racing Tipsters, who'll be doing their best to send you home a winner. Tickets $195 per person, available at AustralianTurfClub.com.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
We'll go around the country now, James. Sydney today, beautiful sunny day, 23 degrees. Melbourne, few showers developing, windy, 17. Mostly sunny in Brisbane, 25 degrees today. Beautiful day in Brisbane. Perth, cold morning, partly cloudy day, 17. Adelaide, showers, windy, just 13 degrees. Hobart, rain at times, 17. Darwin, as always, mostly sunny, 31. And the nation's capital, Canberra, a few late showers and 20 degrees.
Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
If I'm not finding money, I've got no time.
Groove?
We're out of the gates and we're away.
We're back in the groove now.
We're back in the groove, Ray. I tell you what, as they say, Ray, your listeners are your best resource. Correct. Some of the nominations we've had coming through about parents and their offspring and how they're going. Peter Corder, of course, won the Aussie Open tennis. He has a son, has won the Australian Open junior title, and both daughters have won Australian Open golf. That's from Matt. Ray and Jim, George Moore and his sons, John and Gary. That's from Gary from Wodalba. Boys, what about Octagonal and Long Row? That's Chief from Cardiff. We do appreciate that one. Northern Meteor and Zoo Star.
Yeah, fair enough. And this is from Simon from Singleton. He says, go the Bulls up there. Morning, Jimmy and Ray. Not quite parents and children, but how about Victor Richardson and his three grandsons, Ian, Greg and Trevor Chappell? And can you give a shout-out to our Singleton Bulls under-12s playing in the Newcastle Hunter Junior Rugby League semi-finals today at Nelson's Bay? Well, good luck to the boys at Nelson's Bay. They're a nice part of the world there, Jim.
A beautiful part of the world. And good man, Simon, from Singleton. I know him very well. I tell you what, doing very well in business. Buys a lot of cars from Scotty Foster, from Steve Foster and Sons. Oh, yeah, yeah. Got piles of money you couldn't jump over with a run-up, Ray. Anyway,
like you.
At some stage, he'll spend some. But anyway, 1353 53 is the open line number.
Simon, you're entitled to return service. I look forward to it.
Get us on the SMS as well, 0419 767 272. And, of course, you can get us on Twitter. We're on Twitter, Raymond. It's W-E-N, what is it? Big Sports W-E-N-D, at Big Sports W-E-N-D. Big hour coming up. We've got Zorb very shortly, Darren Beedman, and Event Cinema's quiz, as well as taking your calls. We'll speak to Jared Daffy up there in Queensland as well. But right now, time to talk some rugby league. We do it with this man every Sunday. He pulls no punches, and we wouldn't expect any less. Morning, Zorb.
Morning, Jimmy. Morning, Ray. Morning, you two Vikes went to bed a little bit early last night. You missed that shocking.
I got your text when I got up this morning. I went and looked at it straight away. Oh, it's a vicious bouncer, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And, you know, those helmets, they save a lot, but, you know, that got him right in the neck. I thought, this is not good. He showed a lot of courage to come back anyway.
Well, I'll tell you what it was, Steve Smith, we've been watching it all morning here. It's exactly where Phil Hughes was hit when he passed away. And remember they were adding extensions to helmets and and yet we didn't see any of that last night.
And Zorb, did the Lords crowd boo Steve Smith as he went off? There's been reports this morning.
They booed him when he came back. Yeah. Some of them booed him when he came back on, but there were plenty of Aussies there. They all booed. And the members and everyone else, they were on their feet.
Yes.
I don't think it was as bad as some of the media have made out in that regard, but thank God he looks like he's going to be okay.
What a courageous
player.
Absolutely. Hey, Zorb, there's so much going on in the world of rugby league, a lot of it happening off-field. Before we get to the on-field stuff, I want to run through very quickly and get your thoughts on what's happening in the world of rugby league. Sean Lane was a front-page story during the course of the week. Agree or disagree with that? $17,500 fine from the NRL.
Pay the price. Too much money.
Well, that goes to my next point. Young players losing money. How many stories are we hearing about players who, he's on this amount of money, but he's got none to show for it? Surely something, someone, the Rugby League Players Association can do something about that.
Well, the Rugby League Players Association are a rusty rifle. They don't do anything. I think it's time that young players, and this is up to the clubs probably, insist that they have a second job away from football. It's too much time, too much money. I've seen young players that have had a poor education because of their upbringing, suddenly get a couple of $100,000 free rent by the beach and a car, and we expect them to be able to handle it. It's crazy. They can't.
Yeah, yeah. No
should the onus be on the clubs then to just look after their players more, Pete?
No, it's on the Players Association. That's what they're there for.
Yeah, and managers, no doubt about it. Dally M Coach of the Year.
Yeah, split hair, Des Hasler, Brad Arthur. Arthur's pulled Wooden Spooners from last year into a lofty position. Des has done an amazing job at Manly.
What about Craig Bellamy? Why is Craig Bellamy being overlooked?
Oh, I think we expect it of him. He set a very high bar, and, he's up there every year, but no, I don't think he's... I think with the cattle he's got, he's entitled to be up there.
Barb Smith gets a $15,000 ring as a gift from the National Rugby League. Thoughts?
I don't have a problem with that. Some people are saying, oh, it could be spent on junior and mini league. What's it going to buy them? A pair of socks? No, in Women's Week, I think it's a nice gesture. She's played her part in Cameron's amazing career, more than played a part.
You know, happy with that, Jimmy.
Oh, well, firstly, the gifting didn't happen in Women in League round. It just came out in this round. I think there's not a player in the National Rugby League who hasn't got a significant female that's played a huge role in their life. And my biggest issue is, why wasn't it not fully disclosed by the National Rugby League when it was handed out? Reason is because they thought, well, people get hold of this, so they won't like it.
Well, I'm not sure if that's the reason. I think it's just that they like to keep everything in-house there. That's just part of who they are, which is wrong. But, yeah, I agree with it. It should have come out.
Mm. Yeah, fair enough. Hey, Zorb, on another topic, Peter Beattie seems to be making noises. He's probably preparing to step down as chairman in February.
Politician with big teeth, I don't trust him.
So the politicians with small teeth, do you trust them either?
Less.
Okay, so who should take over?
I think without a doubt, Peter Vlandis. Well, he's got the runners on the board. He's a great administrator. He has got vision. Just see what he's done with racing in Sydney. Unbelievable. He's the man.
Spoke to him. Yep. Spoke to him yesterday, Pete, and he's prepared to wear two hats if he gets the chairmanship.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So that's a direct quote from Peter Vlandis.
Yes.
All right. Well, there's a little exclusive
good.
For us.
That's good.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, he's not only Greek, he's from Wollongong too, so that's a double tick for you, isn't it, Zorb?
Exactly right. There was a Peter Vlandis played in my team at school. Had to carry him, but he was... It must be a relation.
Well, he played from footy Wollongong. As a youngster, didn't he, Pete?
Footy,
yeah. No, he definitely did. Tevita Pangai, I know he's got loading. Tevita Pangai, for that tackle on Friday night, is going to miss 3 weeks of footy. Do you agree?
Well, I think if you want to play the hitman, it comes with a price, and he's now got that price because of the way that he's been playing. Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Gosh, I thought that was harsh.
I think what was harsh was the sending to the sin bin of Joe Tappany for throwing a handbag at Big Nelson. I mean, that was pathetic.
Mm. Yeah, I didn't. Yeah. I heard it on the radio. I was on the way home.
Correct.
So,
well, I've got an issue in that game which could come out.
Yes.
Today.
Yes.
Well, first of all, you finished firing your topics at me.
It relates to this one. Yeah. I've got one. Raiders, can they win the comp?
Oh, without a doubt.
Right.
That leads me into the game of the year, the fight back of the year.
Mm.
What a cracker! Down 18-0.
Yes.
After 29 minutes, two players in the sin bin. Canberra come back from the dead to score 4-0 to down the Storm 22-18. They were caned early in the penalties, and the Raiders showed their character, I thought, which oozed courage and skill. Ricky Stewart's side is the real deal. And when Big Papa Josh Papali burst over 3 minutes from full time, the comeback was complete. Now, out of this game, there were some terrible refereeing decisions. The sending of Tarpany, as I just said, the sin bin, after he threw that handbag at Solomona, was laughable. But with 17 minutes to go, a tackle by Cameron Munster on the Raiders veteran Sia Soliola could send the Storm into a semi-final spin. Munster came in low and hard at Soliola's legs while he was being held by two or three defenders. He was penalised. Soliola had his knee strapped as a result.
Yes.
It was a shocker, and I reckon the Storm will be watching for any report today. No Munster, bye-bye Melbourne.
I agree with you on that. And just on that, there's been a lot of reporting. Paul Crawley's written about it. Paul Kent wrote about it yesterday. And I had my say on Fox Sports during the week on the Bill and Boz program about the raising of the elbows by Nelson Asifa-Solomona and Jesse Bromwich. Got a text message from Frank Panisi just wondering why I was so anti-Storm. And was I wearing my Roosters hat at the time? I responded to Frank, who I know very well. I have great regard for Frank. I certainly was not, but I said, if one of those guys breaks a jaw, all hell will break loose. And I thought it was very noticeable last night. There was no raising of the elbows by those players, which suggests it's something they can control.
Well, look, Maxi Krilic revived the Melbourne tactics a few weeks ago. Everyone else has jumped on the bandwagon since.
Yes.
And I reckon there was pressure on the refs last night. They must have looked at what the tally was early because they then switched and the penalties went the other way in the second half. So I think the media and the reports on what Melbourne are doing are having a real effect on that club. I mean, they should be sending messages to individual journalists and members of the media like that. Who do they think they are, the Melbourne Storm? I mean, every time I watch, is it Chemakakika? Whatever he...
Jerry Chemakamika, yeah.
Yeah, like, he sails close to the line with everything he does on the field. And he's typical of the players being brought through by the Melbourne Storm. And I just think other clubs aren't going to be bullied by them anymore. And I think the referees are getting ready to... like, Cameron Smith had a smirk on his face early in the game when the penalties were going his way. But late in the game, it wasn't so smiley.
Hey, Sorb, your Manly Seagulls are now in the top four. The Rabbits went down again last night, 14-6 to the Bulldogs. They're on a slippery slope, South Sydney.
Yeah, they certainly are. And I thought last night that they showed signs of... real wear and tear. They've got injuries. They lost Braden Burns.
Yes.
Sam Burgess looked unhappy at full time. Adam Reynolds has got a back problem. I can't see South emerging for this. The hole they're in, even Damien Cook looks jaded. And that wasn't the case a few weeks ago. I mean, the Bulldogs, they deserved that win last night. Kieran Foran, the Fonz fights on. He's been dogged by injuries and some shocking personal battles, but one's got to admire Kieran Foran's courage, skill on the football field. He provided the class last night to spearhead a well-deserved 14-6 win by the Bulldogs over a trialist South Sydney. How long since South haven't scored a try? And as I said, South out of the top four. Wayne Bennett says it's not terminal yet. They face the Broncos next week. Then they face the Warriors and the Roosters. So they're going to limp into the finals, and it won't be in the top four. So they're in a lot of trouble. On the other side of the coin, I think Dean Pay is doing a very good job at the Dogs, but the front office and the board there just need to shut up. The Dogs have won three in a row against the Panthers, Tigers and Rabbitohs, but ridiculous statements keep coming out of admin. Players coming to the club will have character checks. Well, they'll sign Charles Manson if he's a good player. That's ridiculous. And some of the players they've signed have got a pretty ordinary sheet on their character, and that's in the last 12 months and in the last offseason. Now, the club has got a hit list. Hurrah, hurrah. And some of the players they're going to chase are, wait for it, Latrell Mitchell and the Turbo Brothers. Forget they're paying Kieran Foran $1 million. Bring in three more, another $3 million plus. Stop treating the fans like they're stupid. Enjoy being away from the wooden spoon and realistically build for next season. But stop the BS, please.
Yeah. Charles Manson's left a right pass. Really needs work too, so I wouldn't be signing him. Now, Zorb, give us an update. How close are Manly to re-signing the Turbo Brothers? He's still my favourite in the league, Tommy Turbo.
Okay, well, Manly need to upgrade and extend Des Hasler before they have a hope of securing Jake and Tom. Desi isn't silly when it comes to negotiations.
Oh, no.
He has his play lunch money from Penrith Primary.
Correct.
Now, consider this. Hasler, Jake and Tom are all managed by SFX, headed up by Hasler's close mate of over 30 years, George Miners.
Yes.
The deal will be done, but none of the trio want to leave, but Manly have got a poor front office at the moment. Indeed, Des is running the whole show. And Des will be a lot quicker getting the deal signed off if he knows his future. Manly fans will tear the place down if it doesn't happen. Mm. So if you want to get Des cracking on something, get him in the right frame of mind. And the best way to do that is money, money, money.
Nothing like a bit of self-interest to help motivate keeping the two best players in the club there.
That's fair enough, too. Hey, Zor, what's your zap for today, mate?
My zap for today, and I'm very confident, Roosters 13-plus
yes.
against the Warriors. The Warriors, I don't think they've played at the SCG. I may be wrong. I think that this will be foreign to them. It's a very hard ground
yes.
to play your first game on just because of the angles and the way it runs. Roosters are well and truly used to it now, and they'll pile the points on today. And the other game between the Sharks and the Dragons, I think it'll be a lot closer. I think the Sharks have got more to play for. At the line, I'm going to go for them. So Roosters 13-plus into the Sharks at the line today.
Normally $3.50, but Roosters 13-plus into Sharks minus 8.5. We're giving you $4. To find it on the website, go to your menu, sports, and then down the bottom, today's special. Same deal on the app. Make sure you look for today's special, and it's there, and you're getting good value as well. $4 for the Roosters, minus 12.5, and the Sharks, minus 8.5. Good on you, Zorb. We'll speak again next week.
See you, boys.
See you, Pete.
There he is, the great Peter Peters. We'll get your thoughts on that. I don't think Charles Manson is an option,
you're
right?
Worried, left to right.
Left to right lets him down, and that's why you've got to leave him out of the squad, the top 30. Maybe put him on a development contract. 1353-53 is the open line number. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more.
Brave Smash, a stakes-winning two-year-old and multiple Group 1 winner. He beat the best on offer, 29 Group 1 winners. Santa Ana Lane, Sunlight, Merchant Navy, She Will Reign, the list goes on. Brave Smash.
Brave Smash, burst through. Brave Smash, a half leg.
Brave Smash, a complete outcross to Danehill Blood and from the famous Sunday Silent Sideline. Standing at Aquas in the Hunter Valley in 2019. Brave Smash, $20,000 plus GST. For more on Brave Smash, go to aquasfarm.com.
Sky Racing Active. It's got all your racing needs.
Can you create racing playlists?
Yes, with race alerts and tips.
Can you stream races you've missed?
Definitely.
And your favourite racing shows?
Yep.
Can you watch races that are yet to run?
That you can't do. For everything else, download Sky Racing Active on your Apple iOS or Android device and get access to a 60-day free trial period.
Sky Racing Active. It's racing the way you want it.
Trial offer ends October 7th, 2019. 18+. Eligible customers only. Exclusive Vic and SA Thoroughbreds.
The Big Sports Breakfast Grand Final Lunch is on again. Join your host TK and Loz in the Grand Ballroom at Royal Randwick Wednesday, October the 2nd. The fun kicks off at 12:30 when your Master of Ceremonies, Dave Stanley, welcomes you to enjoy a gourmet three-course lunch, five-hour beverage package, and to rub shoulders with royalty of the NRL and racing world. The midweek Randwick meeting will be in full swing, as will the Sky Racing Tipsters, who'll be doing their best to send you home a winner. Tickets $195 per person, available at AustralianTurfClub.com.au.
Dynamic Syndications, Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott have a filly with fabulous looks by Lonro. Champion three-year-old, champion miler, horse of the year and champion sire with 83 stakes winners. From Mona Leisha, a city-winning two-year-old, our filly is a half-sister to four winners, including Group 3 place Billy the Kid. Join our Dynamic Gay and Adrian team in this lovely Lonro filly at $12,925 per share. Visit DynamicSyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3360808.
Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
And welcome back to the show. 8:28 on your Sunday morning. Love this headline in the Sunday telly, James. Pan bloody fantastic. Talking about pandemic, and we'll talk to the man who was there yesterday to watch him do his thing. Two from two pandemic, and Hall of Famer Darren Beaton is on the line. Darren, good morning, and I know people like me get carried away all the time. Sorry, Darren, but he's visually a very, very impressive horse, Pandemic.
Yeah. Good morning, Ray. Yeah, he's very exciting. Mm. Both been very dominating, and look, it's not an easy feat to just to win a maiden and then go to a Saturday meeting, and he's certainly got a lot of upside to him as far as maturity goes, and he's just been a bit of a slow learner, and James has taken his time with him and given him every chance to fully develop.
Was there a bit of a downside to Tommy Berry if he was not able to get out of that little... he was caught behind a couple of runners there in the straight. Darren, I can only imagine what was going through your mind on that occasion.
Oh, I had the utmost faith in Tommy Berry.
You got your fingers crossed when you're saying that.
I asked him the same question yesterday. Darren's too good for us. He just played me off a break.
Did he?
Exactly the same answer yesterday.
Hang on. I want to explore that a little more, Darren, because now you're giggling about it.
He drew an inside gate, and for a horse of his experience, it sometimes can work for you and sometimes it can work against you, and he was able just to get him into probably the perfect running position in three pairs back on the fence, and he just did no work early, which allowed him and offered him the opportunity to go through his gears when he didn't, and you don't really know if they've got that acceleration until you really put the acid on him, because at Wyong, his last start, it's a very tight turning track and you're making a run halfway around the corner, whereas Tommy was really able to balance him up and go through his gears, and he was very strong late. So, and it's amazing what a win like that can do to a horse for his confidence. Like, he's going to come out next time like he would have went home last night and felt like a prize fighter. So, if you can make every post a winner and, you know, give him that perfect run and give him that that sense of accomplishment, you know, after they finish, they seem to train on a lot better.
Yeah, no, he was impressive, broke the track record. Didn't last long, Darren, because the All Too Royal in the last did break that track record again. But second start, Pandemic, obviously very promising. And again, it just highlights the deep pool of three-year-old talent at Godolphin, because soon after Pandemic's win, we were watching from afar, obviously, but at Caulfield, Bivouac was outstanding in the Vane Stakes and Exhilarates a terrific return in the Quizette Stakes. Darren?
Yes, we had a stellar crop of 2 year olds last year, and James didn't overtax them, and which is always encouraging to go into a 3 year old season. You don't really know if they've come up, but look, they've had every chance, you know, from the time that they stepped, onto the stud at Woodlands. It's just, both those wins yesterday, like Bivouac. He could have easily run in the slipper. He's winning the long row plate. Last season, like, he had exceptionally good form, but it's good to see the way that he just put him away with such ease.
It'd be so hard to line him up, but Bivouac, can you tell us about him? Because yesterday he looked like he's really come on since his two-year-old season. He put a gap on a pretty handy field yesterday at Caulfield.
Yes, well, I've been away and I haven't really seen him this season, but last season he was a very feminine type, and being a colt, hopefully he sort of developed. I didn't really sort of get a really good look at him. Like, you'd like to see him in the flesh sometimes too, but he can do a bit this season. But look, he's got an engine, and that's what matters. And the way Huey, explained it after the race, that he's a very responsive type of horse, and you're going to have to just manage that, because he just wants to get the job over and done with. So, whether Huey was saying that tongue in cheek, wanting to keep the ride, I'm not quite sure. But look, it's so important to give these horses, another indication that he'll come out again and race with confidence again.
Darren, a jockey wouldn't have anything other than honest feedback for a trainer and or stable representative, would they?
Since I've been on the other side of the fence, some of the stories that they come back with, they try and tell you.
Yeah.
Look, I wrote the book. And
Darren, what was the best... What was the best one you came back with?
Had every chance.
4 and 5 wide the whole way at every chance.
We shouldn't be laughing because people putting their hard earned on it. But anyway, hey, what about the old boy? He's as old as Ray Hartnell yesterday down at Caulfield. He just keeps going, the old boy.
Oh, he's an absolute warrior for our stable. Like, he came over to our stable about 4 years ago and 5 years ago, and the racing awards night on Thursday night, and every year he's turned up. He's been on every screen.
Yeah.
You know, he's just been such a marvel, and he just ran an honest race and great race again.
Mm. Actually, we've got kind of Darren Garrity out asking him, Jimmy, a question without notice. At the awards night on Thursday night, the great man put his hand up for one of the auction items, which was fantastic of him. Spent a fair bit of money. I'll let Darren, if he wants to, say how much.
Right.
But it was for lunch with Chris Waller and Hugh Bowman. Now, Greg Radley had a lot of fun with Daz and said, looking for a job interview, Daz. But you actually tell me yesterday there was a very, very good cause behind your decision to part with some money to buy that luncheon.
Yeah, I didn't even tell Kim, my wife, what I intended.
Does she know yet?
She knows now.
Okay.
She had to sign the check. So, She's a minister for war and finance. So,
I hope she's not listening, guys.
She's cooking me bacon eggs at the moment.
Hey, hang on.
Travelling good, mate. Travelling good.
Yeah. No, it was, it was a great night, and, you know, Ty was there, and, it was all for the spinal cord institute. That was for the charity for the night, and when I had my fall back in Hong Kong, when I came back to Australia, I was at the Ride Rehabilitation Centre, and the only time I knew I was right when I was able to say Ride Rehabilitation Centre. they did such a wonderful, job with me and helped me out, so I just wanted to give something back to them, and no one really knew what I was doing, but I bid on the Deanne Pena portrait that she was going to paint of a horse, and I was going to get one done with Lonro anyway. Sheikh Mohammed had too much money, and he outbid me. Ben Cox outbid me, but he said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm going to buy this." He said, "Well, I was going to buy that for Sheikh Mohammed." And so anyway, he said, well, asked me what my budget was, and I told him, and so he just went, when someone else came in, he just went over the top, and that was good. And but it was the last item left.
On the
card with lunch with Huey and Chris, and I thought, well, I used to get invited to their place for dinner and for lunch, and I don't get invited anymore. I'm just a has-been, so I thought, I've got to buy one.
Your opposition, probably.
I've got to buy it now. It was a bit of fun, and it went to a good cause.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well done, Darren. Appreciate your time this morning, and no doubt we'll be speaking throughout the course of the spring.
Good. Thanks, fellas.
Thanks, Dan.
Darren Beedman there, stable representative of Godolphin.
In for a good spring, aren't they? Lise last week, Bivouac.
Looks like it's going to be exceptional. He's had a great 12 months, and it's going to continue, it would seem. 13:53:53.
Big week for James Cummings here, a little baby girl on Monday night.
Is that right?
Mia, little Mia. So congratulations, James.
Congratulations all around. All right, let's get to some of these callers on. I know there's a lot of people who send the SMS in every week, so they're still listening. No name on it, but yes, we're getting to callers right now. Let's go to Derek, who's on the line from Cronulla. Hello, Derek.
Hello, Jimmy. How are you?
Very well. What do you got for us, Derek?
Just on your talk topic, one from the United States of America, looking at Archie Payton and Eli Manning.
Yes, we had a nomination on SMS. Yeah, absolutely.
And I think just on the, funnily enough, Darren Beedman and Mitchell Beedman is also on as well. Funny. There you go with the ranks you just had on.
That's right.
Looking at the Cameron Smith thing, is it just another example of the NRL failing the pub test or the public test? And just the lack of, actual foresight and who's guiding Todd Greenberg, the match review committee, and everyone else on how they do things. There just doesn't seem any thought put into how it could look publicly.
Yeah, a bit out of touch, aren't they, Derek? The pub test is a good way of putting it, Jim.
It's a simple way. It's a simple exercise. It could be 15 minutes. It could be an hour of them sitting in a room and going, what are the negatives here? How can we handle this? How can we get on the front foot? How can we get in front of it? Quite simply, if it's women in league rounds, why not go around to every rugby league club in Australia and each club gets to nominate the one female that's done the most for that club during the year and a small token gesture given to that club by the NRL to that female. Really simple stuff like that could be saving them so much grief and garner some much better goodwill.
And the other thing about it is, Derek, it's a very good point that you make. The other thing about it is, Derek, and thanks for the call, is that sometimes it's just literally recognition that people want. And you make that recognition of all the countless hours that people do in that voluntary position.
Yep.
And that can be enough, just to be acknowledged.
Acknowledged, to say thank you for your efforts.
100%. So there we go, 1353 53 is the open line number. Let's get to our next caller, because John is on the line. G'day, John.
G'day, fellas. How are you going?
Really morning, well, John. Mate. What do you got for us?
Mate, the cricket. Just in this debate I'm going to have with you this morning, hopefully it's the one I'm going to have with TK tomorrow morning. I'd like your opinion now on this mob booing Smithy in England after last night, because fellas, I can't even find the words for the disdain I've got towards these idiots that are carrying on with him. That was one of the most pathetic shows of sportsmanship I've ever seen, and I'd love your thoughts.
Yeah, John, were you awake? Because I actually didn't see the bouncer. So.
Yeah. Look, if we're hearing reports that it was booing, I'll say this, John. While it might sound wrong to us and something that we cannot fathom, paid your money, don't agree with what's going on.
But the guy hit the deck.
Yeah, I understand that. As distasteful
how
as it is.
How can you boo that?
Well, they're booing him because of what happened previously.
It's a different thing.
It's not a different thing. It's
yes,
the same person.
I agree
it's
with
the
John.
Same person.
It's disgusting.
It's horrible.
What if he'd been really badly hurt?
But and there was every chance that
exactly.
was the case.
And
that's
people
right.
are booing. It's ridiculous.
Well, look, I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem with it.
In this instance, a person could be in real trouble.
Yeah, I understand that.
I can't agree
I understand
with that.
Jim.
I respect your opinion, but I can't agree with that one.
Okay. 1353 53, the open line number. Good on you, John. Got Ray all fired up. Anyway, hello, Rod.
Jeez. Hey,
Rod,
you there?
Yeah. How's it going, Rod?
How are you, Rod?
Good. Sales?
Very well, mate. What do you got for us today?
We've got the Rogers family for starters.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is this on the Bettors Lake Up? No point having that anymore. It's only going to be a two-match series, but New Zealand will just come over here for the first game. Won't give a crap. Just go back to New Zealand and flog us every time.
Go to Eden Park and a swim.
I tell you what, it's only a two-match series because of the World Cup this year.
Well, we'll see what happens. Anyway, another thing, guys. Big days in the now binary gets today. First grade, Dylan Farrell's team. Must win against Gerringong or we won't make the semis.
Okay, Gerringong
Lions. Must win ball game. Definitely let us know how they go, Rod.
What's your front row look like? Plenty of Blattners in there? Is that the surname?
Yep.
Yeah, mate.
Yep.
Got to go.
Good on you, Rod.
Sorry to interrupt your morning, Rod, but anyway, we do appreciate that. We've got another caller there. We're going to go to a break. We'll go to a break. And by the way, you settle down, Ray, in the break.
No, I'm fine.
And as we go to the break, we're going to play our Event Cinemas quiz, all right? So call now if you'd like to be a part of it. 1353 53, the open line number. Here, you can placate yourself during the course of the break by knowing that you lead by 2 points.
I'm just surprised that you wouldn't have concern about an athlete struck down.
Of course I have. Of course I have.
But then you don't condone the booing. Anyway.
I don't mind the booing. 1353 53.
Does your small business need new equipment, another renovation, a little more stock, or even some extra staff? A business loan could help. Look no further than OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. OnDeck Group are trusted by over 80,000 small businesses worldwide and have already lent over $10 billion globally. So for a loan to grow your business with money in your account as fast as the next business day, visit ondeck.com.au now. All loans are subject to lender approval.
Invader, a Group 1 winning son of the champion racehorse and sire Stitzel. Invader won the Group 1 Sire's Produce Stakes. Tap into breeding royalty with Invader.
It's a length and a half clear to Trapeze Artist. Invader's coming hard on the outside, and Invader goes on to win the English Sire.
Invader, the champion two-year-old colt of his generation. Standing at Aquas in the Hunter Valley in 2019. Invader, $25,000 plus GST. For more on Invader, go to aquasfarm.com.
Sydney's newest must-see home renovation destination is now open. Wide-line windows and doors, state-of-the-art Liverpool showroom features an impressive range of residential, designer and architectural designs on display. Experience window shopping like never before. See how your home will look and feel with our stunning contemporary 310 square metre showroom, plus find solutions to improve energy efficiency, acoustics, privacy and security. Wide-line Liverpool will bring your home reno vision to life. Located at 12 Home Pride Avenue, Warwick Farm, open 6 days.
Uh-oh, here comes Jono. How does he like to say hi again? Was he the hugger or the high-fiver or classic handshake? Oh, I can't remember.
If only it was as easy as Tabs Odds and Evens, where you choose if the first two place getters in a race will be odd or even numbers or split, or just spin the wheel to help you decide. Too easy.
Yep, I just slapped his face. Yep, right in the chops.
Tabs Odds and Evens. Give it a spin today. Available to New South Wales TAB customers on all Australian racing. See tab.com.au for full T's and C's. Gamble responsibly.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio TAB, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Lane.
All right, Event Cinema's Todd, just before we get to that, hey, Ray, listen to Jimmy. When it comes to booing, he is an expert. Don from Carlton. Thank you, Don. Yeah. Event Cinema's, right, you calm down a bit?
No, well, the critics just chimed in. Ray's got it wrong. I watched the cricket last night. They didn't boo Smith when he got hit. They booed him when he walked back on the field. That's from the critic. Even then, I can't accept that, given he was very, very serious.
Well, that makes it even more acceptable. Thank you, critic. Event Cinema's newest luxury experience, Event Boutique, is now open. An intimate cinema with a boutique vibe, designer recliners, the best cinema sound and picture, service at your seat, coupled with a bespoke menu curated in collaboration with Vic's Meats and Sonoma Bakery. Immerse yourself in a designer experience this weekend, Raymond, and enjoy an incredible lineup of films, including the highly anticipated adrenaline-fueled release of Fast and Furious Hobbs and Shaw. I'm sure you and Tan would love to
Tan love that.
Head on over to eventcinemas.com.au to grab your tickets now. Now,
What chance may watch that? Tan, pressure's
big
on
job,
you here.
Big job here.
Pressure's on.
Toss the coin.
Toss the coin.
Your call, Raymond.
Okay, I'm calling Tails. Great horse, Tails. Ah, Tails it is. I'll go two.
Oh, he's got well done, Tanya. He's going player two. Who would have thought that? In saying that, Ray, it is 2019. All right, let's go player one. Pete's on the line. G'day, Pete.
How you going, boys?
Yeah,
morning,
really
Pete.
Well, mate. Let's go. Question one. What sport did James Naismith invent in Springfield, Massachusetts in 1891?
Baseball.
Close. Not quite. Not close enough.
It's been around a lot longer than that. Basketball.
How long has baseball been around?
Oh, yeah, they were playing in the
1850s. They were, actually. You're right.
Yeah. Have you ever seen that baseball documentary by a bloke named Ken Burns? Makes you fall in love with the game of baseball.
I love it. Don't need any help.
Question two. We've lost Pete. Have we lost Pete? Yeah, we've lost Pete. Why don't we go to player two?
Okay.
With your man, Michael, which really now becomes player one.
Hey, Michael, you on the line?
Yes, how are you going?
Terrific, mate. We've got a slight technical hitch, but we'll just plough through this, Michael, and get all three right. Question number one. What's wrong, James?
Call back, please. Our previous call. Can we get him to call back, Pete?
Okay. Please call back, Pete, in a slight technical issue. Okay, Michael, you all set?
Yep.
Okay, question number one. What sport did Martina Bergman Osterberg introduce to students for the first time in London in 1893?
It's hard. Maybe tennis?
No, it was netball. That's a tough one, Michael.
Netball.
We'll get it back on track here. Question number two, multiple choice, Michael. How many players can a team have on the field at one time in the Irish sport of hurling? Yeah, A, is it 11? B, 13? C, 15? Well done. 15. Good stop. Question number three. No, it doesn't matter. Michael's on the board. Here we go, Michael. Again, another multiple choice question. Which of these team positions is not used in field hockey? A, is it centre back? B, left inside? C, goalkeeper?
What was C? Sorry?
C was goalkeeper. So your choices are A, centre back, B, left inside, C, goalkeeper.
A.
Well done, centre back.
Good stuff, Michael.
I'd rather be lucky than smart. I know that. Well done, Michael. Good on
you.
Stay
can't
on the line.
Say things
yes,
like
you
that.
Can. No, seriously, guess those
doesn't
last
matter.
Two.
Got
here we
right.
go. Let's go back to Pete. Pete, that's you there? You there, Pete? Hang on.
We'll try and get Pete back online.
There he is.
Here. Poor
there.
Guy.
We
you probably got
there.
An inferiority complex. Pete, we didn't mean to cut you off. You're still there, mate?
I'm here, mate.
Terrific.
All
okay.
Right. Sorry, Pete. Our mistake. Now, the bad news is, mate, you've got to get these two right just to get to a tiebreaker.
Oh, goodness. Right.
Question two. How many players can a team have on the field at one time in men's lacrosse? Is it A, 10, B, 12, or C, 14?
Jeez. I'll go for B.
Might as well stop it there. You can drop off the line again if you like, Pete.
You cut him off last time.
Yeah, well, see you later, Pete. By the way, Michael, always thought you were a good player.
Well, let's hope we get Michael back on the line. Michael, you there?
Yep.
Yeah, congratulations, great. Mate. You're the winner. Where are you from, Michael? Where do you live,
I'm
mate?
I'm from Hoxton Park.
Hoxton Park.
Hoxton Park? Where's yep. the nearest event cinema is Hoxton Park, Raymond?
It's probably Liverpool, Westfield.
Yep.
Liverpool. Oh, there
yep.
you go.
Perfect.
Mate, you stay on the line, Michael. Congratulations. You're our winner today, and we will send out a double pass courtesy of event
good
cinema.
Stuff,
so well done, mate. Perfect. Stay on the line. And just a little score update there, Raymond.
It's at 18:15. Little guessed, mini break.
He guessed the last two, didn't he?
Doesn't matter.
I know it doesn't matter, but he did. Just I just matter. Like your admission. And just on that, by the way, Jimmy, you are so wrong on the booing point. Give my strongest support to Ray on this one. Tigers Dave from West Ryde. Jimmy's just happy someone else is getting booed other than himself. That's LOL Biz at Newey. And this one, I think, probably hurts the most, Ray. Jimmy, once again, you have shown you are completely out of touch with everyday Australians, whereas Ray epitomises how 99.9% of us think. That's Ruben. Mm. So that means, Ruben, you've all got phobias about odd numbers. So that 99.9% of Australians have got phobias about
which
odd numbers.
Which suggests Ruben hasn't because he put 99.9% on the text. So again, you're wrong.
That's an excellent point. That's an excellent point. Well done, Raymond. Now, speaking of excellent points, I'll tell
our
you
man
what.
Jared Dappy's
we've
got
our man, Jared Dappy, and there was a little bit of action on social media after
yes.
the show last week with our Legend of the Game. By the way, part two, Legend of the
coming
Game,
up.
Paul Vorton.
Just
coming
after
up.
9 o'clock news.
So if you're a Queensland listener and you want to listen to it, make you get on the app or the website, skysportsradio.com.au. But, of course, Jared's anticipating a fairly heavy mention throughout the latter part of
probably
Paul
entitled
Vorton's.
Too.
Yeah.
Jared,
yeah.
Man of the people.
Is that right, Jared? Good morning.
Morning, boys. Well, I would hope so. I mean, the charge was led by Darryl Braman, and for those who aren't aware, well, hopefully it's revealed when you get him on air, a lot of the gags that he produces have been from Darryl and some from myself down through the 25
years. Oh, there you go.
So hang on.
And material.
You claim to fame is that you're Paul Vorton speechwriter.
That's it.
All right. Well, we might have to put it to him after 9 o'clock, mate. Let's give us go over to London. We seem to be creating a bit of a controversy there this morning on the back of C. Smith being hit. But what about the state of the game in the balance?
No, we haven't created any controversy. You have again, and I agree with all the listeners, in particular Ruben. delicately poised, isn't it? It makes you wonder what would have happened had we've got some play in the second day, was it, or the third day when we lost?
Day one.
First day, lost all of day one, and then a couple of sessions. So it's delicately poised. Draw favourite $1.52. My understanding is there's maybe some rain around again, boys. So that price isn't going to go anywhere. It might get shorter.
Yeah.
Australia back into second picks at 360. And England at 650, but that first 2 hours tonight, I think we've got to skittle them.
Yeah, exactly. If we can knock them over, I think I'd prefer to be in Timmy Payne's position than Joe Root's, Jared.
Yeah, most certainly. Mm. But as I said, it's going to be fascinating. And if it is a draw, obviously, England have got to take some risks going forward if they're to try and win the Ashes.
I reckon they might declare. Probably not.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, exactly. Two games to complete this round of the NRL this afternoon. Jared, Roosters v Warriors, Sharks v Dragons.
Got two shorties here, Ray. We've got the Roosters at 115, the Warriors at 550. A handicap line there of 13.5 points. And there's plenty of money for the minus. It's into 185. And another shorty in the second game where the Sharks are $1.35. The Dragons at 3.25. That handicap line's been set at 8.5 points. There's actually a bit of interest for the Dragons at the plus
That's into $1.80. And some minor changes to the premiership market. The Roosters at 275. Melbourne out to 325. Canberra into 750. Manly 11. Para and South at 13.
Very interesting. What about the AFL today? Richmond up against West Coast.
Big game,
that. They're both your teams, aren't they? Given the fact they've won comps over the last couple of years.
Yeah, they are, but I've got a very, very soft spot for Brisbane.
Storming the top of the ladder now.
Were you out there? Apparently the Gabatoir was a sellout.
No, I don't go to the football. I don't like crowds.
What a coincidence. Crowds don't like you,
either. No, this will be a ripper today. Richmond are $1.53. They haven't got Cochin and Dustin Martin's under some sort of doubt, but they're sure $1.53, given they are equal favourites to win the flag. West Coast at 250. The line there, 11.5 points. And as we've seen already, just because you're outsider doesn't mean anything. In this round, we saw three win on the trot last night. I tell you what, on the back of Essendon beating Fremantle, there's been any amount of money for the Bulldogs lining up their form from last week, what the Bulldogs did to Essendon.
Wow.
235 into 215 to beat the Giants today, who are out to $1.70. A line there of 6.5 points. And I suppose this was the gimme for everybody in their sports multis for the weekend. Hawthorn $1.03 to beat the Gold Coast Suns at $12. That line opened 41.5 points. It's now 51.5 points.
What do you think on that one? 51.5.
I'm not a big fan of minus takers, but honestly, on the form that Hawthorn have been in, and they're actually some hope of making the final.
Well, they can jump back into the eight and probably get it. If they have a big win on percentage, they can jump ahead of Adelaide and get back into the eight today.
The only problem with them is they've then got to go across and take on the West Coast next week. Yes. So you'd think that would be a loss, but you just couldn't back the Gold Coast.
No, exactly. Hey, the Bledisloe Cup last night, I said it earlier, it was like night following day, the All Blacks had bounced back. What does that do for the World Cup betting now,
well,
Kieran?
The All Blacks got out to 250, Jimmy and Ray, from last week, but they're back into 220 now. I suspect there'll be money for them this week. Mm. South Africa at 575. England's still there at $6, although beaten by Wales. We've got Ireland at 9. Speaking of Wales, they're 10. And the Wallabies are at 15, so
I guess
the money will dry up. There was plenty of interest in the Wallabies this week, but a bit of a reality check last night, wasn't it?
36 blot.
I tell you what, when they play the rugby the way they do, and to their credit, the Wallabies did it the week before, albeit the All Blacks had one man down, but when they play that attacking rugby, it's good.
Watching. Great
isn't
last
it?
Week.
It is good watching, it must be said. Anyway. Now, look, stand by. Jared, for a mention from our legend of the game today, and let's hope it does happen. Otherwise, I'd be upset for you if it didn't.
I'll soldier on. I mean, myself and Broman have sat in the background of his career all the way through, and it really only came to light last week. So he's been up there collecting all of those logies, and not once have we received any acknowledgement. Pretty disappointing.
Very disappointing.
Let's hope he acknowledged it this time, Jared.
Yeah.
Hope he does.
Good on you, mate.
See you, boys.
Jared Duffy from the TAB, and make sure you check it out online, tab.com.au.
See, this is very clever from Steve. Try and pick this up. Ruben got the wrong stat. It was 99.94% of the population agree with Ray.
All I needed was four more people to agree with you, and it would have been 100%.
You're on the same page. Don Bradman's sandwich, well done.
Eric Hollies.
Very clever, Steve.
Very
clever.
Steve, that might go a long way towards winning our Winx book and Wingman beer. By the way, we haven't announced that is Winx and Wingman. And stand by some announcements with Wingman.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, very exciting. But, Steve...
There's another brewer trying to muscle in, you know.
Is there?
I'll discuss it in the ad break.
So what you're saying is we are... best described as a hot property on Sunday morning. Is that what you're saying, Ray?
I wouldn't go that far.
How far would you go, Ray?
I wouldn't use the term very loosely, by the way.
Hang on. We are hot property on a Sunday morning, it must be said. 1353 53, the open line number. Let's go to Noel. Noel's on the line. G'day,
mate. Good morning, boys. How are we?
Noel, what do you got for us?
What I was wanting to say was I saw the incident with Steve Smith last night. I was watching the cricket last night.
Yes.
When he got hit in the head, he was very, very, very lucky young man, actually, because that's exactly where, what's his name?
Phil Hughes.
Yeah, where he copped it. So he should have had that grill there on the side, but the thing is, what really, really, really upset me was when he got hit and he got floored on the ground. Chopper Archer, then he went up to see how he was. He was standing there and he was just smiling, had a smile on his face, like he couldn't care shit, you know.
Mm.
It's despicable. Absolutely disgusting, disgusting performance by an Englishman.
Okay, Noel, we do appreciate it. I'll tell you what, what we haven't been able to ascertain, Ray, and this is where the information is coming in a sketchy form, and that is Steve Smith, the way we understand it, when he was felled, there was no booing from the crowd. The booing occurred when he came back out to bat after retiring hurt for a period of time.
That's my understanding, because I haven't seen it either.
Now, this incident with Jofra Archer, we don't know.
Mm.
Right, we weren't up watching it at that time, so we can't. I'm not saying telling us the truth, Noel. All I'm saying is we find it hard to react to something that we haven't seen.
This is some Ron from Port Macquarie.
Yes.
Very ugly scene at the felling and then reappearance of C. Smith. Not good enough and a sad lack of sportsmanship. Thanks, Ron from Port Macquarie. If he was booed coming back out, remember when Graeme Smith came out in the SCG with his broken thumb? He got a standing ovation virtually for the courage he was showing to face a rampant Mitchell Johnson.
But he hadn't openly cheated.
No, mate,
you can't distance that from the response
in this instance,
spectators.
Totally different thing.
I know it's different, but it's one and the same man.
So people will never get over this, is that what you're saying?
It's going to take time. It's going to take time, Ray. And just on that, based on what we've seen here, there's players rushing in. There's English players rushing in when Steve Smith is felled, based on the vision that we've seen this morning. Now, Jofra Archer we're not sure of. And to be honest, and I know it's a different set of circumstances now following the passing of Phil Hughes, but Jeff Thompson was famous for saying he wanted to see blood on the pitch.
Mm.
Remember when he was playing in an Ashes series?
And,
I know that's 40 years ago.
Michael Clark said, I'm going to break your arm.
Going to break your arm. That's exactly right. So without having seen it, we're just going to actually temper that. 13:53:53. What we won't temper is...